across the UK, online and on DAB.
It's the radio show for night people. Funky, but neat. Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I'm not strictly in for Ian Lee. Am I in for Ian Lee or am I in for Rufus Hound in for Ian Lee?
For both of them.
Who knows?
Funky and neat, that's a new one.
Is that what it said? Yeah. Funky and neat?
Yes, I don't even know what that means.
Wow. Hello, everyone. We've just been watching Ian on the telly.
Briefly.
Exciting. Mm. Exciting. He's now a reality TV star. I don't know if you've been... Wait, everyone knows by now. He's in the jungle. We just got a glimpse of him. It's a very, very exciting time. And we found out what they say. He's going head-to-head in a trial. He's going straight for a Bush Tucker trial.
Yeah.
And it's something Downing Street themed, I think they said.
It's a fight for Downing Street. They're going to be sleeping outdoors and eating crud, aren't they? That's what's going to happen.
Well, I think they normally have... Sorry, hello, I'm Jamie East, by the way. Hello, talk radio. This is Kath.
Hiya.
Hello. Give us a call, 03444991000, or you can text 87222, starting with talk. We're talking about a whole bunch of stuff tonight. We've not really got a massive agenda. We did have a great guest lined up. He's Paul. I tell you, I had Shovel from M People until yesterday.
You never.
I did.
He's a ledge.
Well, he is. He's also a letdown. So he can sod off. And we also had a man in charge of the stats for Pornhub. He was going to come on as well. He's otherwise
ironically
engaged.
Pulled out.
Ironically, too early. Too early. Finished too early. But we've got tons of stuff to talk to you. I want to talk to you about The Room. Have you heard of The Room, Kath?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
So The Room is one of the best worst movies ever. And it's been remade. It's out next week with James Franco in it. So we're going to talk about that. If you've got a favourite dreadful film, I want to hear about that as well. What else are we going to talk about? We've been talking about celebrity biographies. Are you a fan of celebrity biographies?
I love them.
What I might do is read out a few excerpts of celebrity biographies and see if you can guess who has written the biography, because there are some absolute crackers out there. I want some interesting facts as well. Do you want to know an interesting fact?
Always.
Right, Robert Mugabe, hashtag current, so it's relatable and it's topical. Do you know that Robert Mugabe in 2000, his 13th year as the president of Zimbabwe, won the jackpot in their national lottery?
Wow, well... Would you Adam and Eve it?
I know. Unbelievable. Also, JFK's brain is missing. Do you know that?
No, I didn't.
They took it...
For the autopsy, they took it out, didn't they?
Yeah, it went to the National Archives, but has since gone missing, and no one knows where it is. I mean, someone must know where it is.
Someone's trying to make a new one.
Imagine, cloning him.
Yeah.
It's Walt Disney's head that they froze and cloned, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get Periscope... Hold on a sec. Oh, I've turned it off. What have I done? I'm trying to get Periscope sorted out so we can have a bit of a chitty-chat as well. Hang on a sec, let me just type in Talk Radio so I can get a title. Talk Radio live now. Come say hi. There we go. Go live. There we are. We're live now. I feel like I've got producer royalty in the house. So you are the main guy. You have to look after Ian all the time.
Yeah, like a nurse.
How is that? What is it?
It's fun. We've been working together for 5 years.
Because we can talk about him now, because he's a celebrity.
Yeah.
Because he is genuinely on a reality TV show. So
turns out one of my friends came good.
Yes, exactly.
Finally.
Finally. Do we think he's going to win?
I think he can win. I put some money on it.
Have you?
Yeah.
What were the odds?
14 to 1.
Ooh.
But I was stupid. Apparently some people are getting 16.
Oh, really? How much did you put on him?
50 quid.
50?
Yeah.
Crap at maths. What's that? It's about
500 and something quid.
Oh, that'll do, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I won 500 quid once on guessing that Cheryl Cole was going to be a judge on X Factor. Bought myself a painting with that.
Flipping heck.
Yeah. I know. I knew she was. I found out. I saw a fax.
Right, so it's inside a dealing.
It was inside a dealing. I saw a fax on Sony Records' desk.
When I put
a bet on it. I don't know if that's illegal or not.
I think it's probably highly illegal, but, you know, don't blame the player, blame the game, man.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. Give us a call, 03444991000, text 87222, starting with the word talk. I think, who's the posh girl? Not Rebecca.
Toff.
I think she's in with a good shout.
Fizz also.
See, I never watched Corrie.
Yeah.
Never watched it.
A lot of affection for her, and I think she comes across it. She's, you know, one of the classic girl next door types.
Is she one of the nation's sweethearts?
I reckon.
See, I never watched Corrie. Never watched it. Right, who we got? Have we got anyone calling in? Oh, who's Court Jester?
Oh, CJ.
CJ. Okay, they're a good guy. Who's that on the... Oh, no, I never know how to use the system either.
Hang on.
So white means that they're going to call back. Okay. Hang on. Sam's on the line.
Sam?
Who is it? Is it my mum? I was having a chat. He's put the phone down. Are they coming through? Are we going to have a chat?
Hang
okay.
On.
It's Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan.
Hello.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. And as to your question, yes, Ian is definitely going to win.
Definitely? That's a bit of a strong statement. He's not even been in it yet.
He's going to win.
Okay, okay. That's very... it's very confident of you. What gives you this confidence in him? I mean, we all want him to win, obviously. It's great for everybody here.
Well, if he can survive me having a go at him for the last 18 months, the jungle will be a doddle.
And what do you have a go at him about?
Everything. We have a right ding-dong.
Why? Well, I mean, why are you so combative?
Well, sometimes it's fun, but sometimes it's, you know... put ideas out there, the creative friction.
Yeah.
It works, it makes him more resilient, it amuses me.
Oh, so you're doing him a favour?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
One thing I'm renowned for is doing people I don't necessarily like a good turn. Look at Matt Ford.
Right, okay. So what, you consider, are you... You class yourself as you're coaching the DJs, are you, the presenters?
No, I'm not coaching them. I'm not that egotistical.
You sound quite egotistical.
It's just that I have a natural talent for making people into stars.
Oh, you do? Okay. What's that what history is that based on?
The history of Matt Ford's recent success.
No, you no, lost. Not got a clue. You're going to have to fill me in there.
Matt Ford was an alleged comedian who was on TalkSport.
Right, okay.
And he was sort of drifting along, and then I had to go at him famously, and then after that he...
Hang a second, no, you don't get to qualify it as famously, because I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. So what happened?
I had to go at him because... a number of issues over the past the 6 months leading up to that.
Yeah.
I just had enough of the way he was treating some of the callers. So
yeah.
I had a go at him, a very public dressing down, and then a couple of weeks later he was on Have I Got News For You,
right,
on all these TV shows. I made a career for him off the back of that dressing down.
Wow, what does his agent think of that then? So it's all down to you.
Yeah, it is.
So why was Matt on Have I Got News For You and not you?
Pardon?
Why has he taken all the glory?
Well, that's what happens in life.
Well, not necessarily, buddy. You've got to stick your neck out. You've got to put yourself forward. No one's gonna make dreams. You know, you make your own luck, Jonathan. What do you do for a living?
Oh, I'm a professional irritant.
Okay. So how can you? I quite fancy presenting. Have I Got News For You?
I think he was on the panel. He wasn't actually presenting it.
Well, baby steps. I'd like to be on the panel. I don't believe we spoke. Oh, did I say you phoned up the first time I was on, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your take on me? This is my third time on talk. What can I do to get into the public? What can I do to get into the jungle, for crying out loud?
Just say something really, really stupid.
I built a career on doing that, but I need you to coach me. Is it my talking voice? Is it my attitude? Where's the gaps?
you have to say something so risibly stupid and untrue that it provokes an angry backlash, and then people feel sorry for you. And,
if you don't mind me saying that, that's the easy way out. That's modern day celebrity fame. That is, you know, I built a career on knocking people like that. because
if you want longevity,
you've got to do something that you're good at. You've got to be known for being good at something, not for being stupid. Surely.
Well, unfortunately, we live in very, very stupid times.
We do. This is true. This is true. What did you think of the budget?
I try not to listen to politicians, if possible, because we all know that they can't be trusted.
Not one of them?
No, not one of them, especially in that place.
You see, I've reached the top of my political chat. That's about as far as I go on.
Jonathan really doesn't get involved with the mainstream media generally, apart from this show.
Are you wearing a tinfoil hat, Jonathan?
No, I'm not.
Where is JFK's brain?
It got disintegrated by the bullet.
Well, no, but they removed the brain into the National Archives and it went missing. It's just another example of the mystery surrounding JFK. What do you think happened to JFK? I love conspiracy theories.
I think the brain just got destroyed when the bullet went in.
No, you're missing the point. It didn't. They've seen the brain. The brain went into the National Archives and mysteriously went missing.
Well, that's what we've been told.
I'll tell you a joke. A conspiracy theorist dies and goes to heaven, yeah? He gets to heaven and he meets Jesus. And Jesus says to him, do you know what? You've been a really good man. You've lived a good, honest life. I will grant you an honest answer to any question you want to know. And the conspiracy theorist looks at him and goes, my God. And he says, okay, Jesus, who shot JFK? And Jesus turned around to him and said, well, it was Lee Harvey Oswald. He was alone, acting of his own accord, shot using his own rifle. And the conspiracy theorist looked at him and went, wow, this goes higher than I thought. you don't even get that. Did you find that funny or not?
It was, I'd be generous and say 6 out of 10.
Six?
You struggle with laughter a bit though, don't you, Jonathan?
Oh no, I do like laughter. It's just that modern people's idea of comedy is very, very strange.
What's your idea of comedy? Who's your favourite comedian? Who's the best comedian?
I love Catherine's namesake, Frankie.
Oh, okay. Frankie Howard.
Oh, you tickled him there.
I got a laugh out of him. He shocked himself into silence.
He's stopped now, yeah.
I think the proverbial sun shines out of him, Frankie.
Oh, okay. Why?
Yeah.
Well, he we're talking Frankie Boyle, obviously, right?
Yeah, obviously.
So, what do you think his particular? Because he's gone quiet lately, hasn't he, Frankie? He's been very quiet.
He's been struggling with retirement.
Well, it's self-induced retirement, most of it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's what happens when you tell jokes about the Queen.
Well, the thing is with Frankie is that he is an addict. He gave up the drugs, he gave up the alcohol, but he didn't give up the addiction. And his addiction is now being a comedian, and he's trying to give it up, but he keeps failing because he has
the
mindset of an addict.
Is it an addiction or is it just a job?
I think it's both for Frankie. I think he has a natural talent.
You sound like you know him. Have you ghostwritten a book for him or something? How do you know? Have you met Frankie?
No, that would probably not be a good idea. Frankie is a great laugh, but we would probably butt heads if we ever met.
Right, okay.
First-rate comedian. I can't speak highly enough of him. He's definitely there with Bill Hicks.
Jonathan, have you ever done any acting?
Yeah.
Have you? Do you want to?
Yeah.
I tell you what. Later on in the show, I'm going to do a bit of acting. Do you want to? Do you want to take part? Should we knock a scene out of the park?
What sort of acting do you want?
Well, what we're going to do is I've been thinking about it. Is, you know, The Room. We're talking about The Room, which is this, which is the film about it was written, directed, and starring a guy called Tommy Wiseau. And it's kind of widely classed as being the best worst film ever made. It's been remade.
Oh, I've got one that'll top that.
Oh, go on.
Birdemic.
Birdemic, yes. Was that not a modern-day sequel of Birds by Alfred Hitchcock?
No, it was sort of one of these edutainment-type drama documentaries about pollution and wildlife turning on humans.
Wow, I really missed the mark. I was miles away.
Poor plot, poor acting, terrible sound.
Yeah.
And the first, I don't know, 5 minutes or so, is just this guy driving around California in a car. It's just absolutely... It's so bad. It's funny.
Well, listen to this and see how would you fare against this is Tommy Wiseau playing the lead role in The Room. Listen to this. Listen.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa.
Okay. Did you hear that? Yeah. Here's the whole scene. Have a listen.
Don't worry. You can trust me.
That's his girlfriend.
Your secret is safe with me.
Try and imagine yourself there, Jonathan.
Hello, Michelle. I hurt you. What secret?
It's between us women.
Hi, Johnny.
Did you get a new dress?
This is genuinely happening in real time as well.
Well, I guess I better be going. I'll just talk to you guys later.
It gets quite dramatic, isn't it?
Lisa, remember what I told you?
What's she talking about?
It's girl talk. I just told you that.
Is this a porno?
I never hit you.
No, it's not. It's genuinely not.
From me.
He did write himself some quite horrific love scenes in the first 30 minutes of it, though.
Don't talk like that.
There's a scene in it where it looks like he's humping her belly button.
Women change their minds all the time.
You must be kidding, aren't you?
Look, I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to go upstairs.
Well, I'll tell you what, stop at that. Jonathan, are you still awake?
Yeah, I'm still awake.
Right, so you can do better than that, right?
I don't even have to try.
Fine. Well, you've laid down the gauntlet now. Have we got an email address for you?
No. I don't want Roger in Doncaster contacting me.
Well, we can ring you back.
Mate, I don't know who Roger from Doncaster is. Well, is it a long story? I don't need to know.
You don't want to know.
No, I don't know who he is. He's just a troublemaker.
Says you.
Fine. Okay, well, I don't know who the hell Roger from Doncaster is. We won't involve him. I was going to send you a script.
Ah.
So I want to email you a script.
Can you leave an email with Sam next door if we put you back through?
I haven't got internet at home.
Oh.
Well, have you got a fax machine?
No.
Have you got a pad and pen?
No, I haven't got a pad and pen.
I don't believe you.
You're not being very helpful. Come on.
No, I haven't got a pad and pen.
Okay, well...
I can hear the sound of it.
I don't do shorthand.
I can hear the sound of a chicken.
No, I can do it without a script. I just make it up off the top of my head.
Okay, fine. You know what? We'll do exactly that. I was going to do a classic scene from either Goodfellas or Silence of the Lambs, which I will do with one of the callers. But if we want to just improv, mate, if we want to just bounce some ideas off each other, should we do that in a bit?
Yeah, that's fine.
Fine, I'll tell you what, call me back when you create a scenario in your head, yeah? You know, like you used to do drama at school?
Yeah.
So create the scenario in your head, create the part for yourself, bit of a backstory, and tell me who I'm going to be, and then we'll just start riffing. And if anyone wants to phone up and get involved, you know, we can just start creating this kind of epic. It's going to be like Lawrence of Arabia, kind of, with a kind of Hollyoaks vibe. Does that work for you?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay, fine. Well, you have a think about that. Have a cup of tea. Have a think about it and call back with once you've got the scenario sorted. Does that work for you?
No problem.
Lovely. Jonathan, we'll speak to you in a bit. I'm very much looking forward to that. Here's a bit of inspiration for you.
You ain't my mother! Yes, I am!
That's the kind of vibe I want to go for. There we go. He's gone. Here we go. Is that Alan? Is Alan there? Oh, Alan is there. Alan, are you all right?
No, no, man. He's officially in the jungle.
He's in the jungle, isn't he?
Yeah. Did he go in tonight?
He did. Well, I think I get confused with the time. It's the time difference. It's early in the morning there now. I think he went in a couple of days ago. And maybe
we haven't seen him on telly yet.
No, you saw him a little bit, but only in the bits that he was filmed. They kind of pre-record a bit where what was his quote? Kathy said, he said
the jungle's not going to change me. I'm going to change the jungle.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think he'd planned months
ago. I think he's trying to waft some feathers like Danny Baker did last year.
Well, that's what the sun says. What do you think?
I think he's going to be king of the jungle.
Do you?
I'm starting a campaign tonight. Go Team Ian.
Team Ian, yeah. That's a good one to have. What do you think his weak points are going to be in the jungle?
I think it might be the kangaroo testicles.
Well, yeah.
You can't help that, though. He was born that way.
There we go.
But could you do better in the jungle, Kath?
Could I do the jungle? Well, no. No one's going to ask me. I don't do camping. But
you've never been camping?
Don't do camping doesn't mean I've never been. I hate it.
Well, the last time I went camping was when I was 8 years old and I was in the Cubs.
All right.
And I was sick for 3 days.
Why?
Probably homesick.
Oh, homesick. That's not a physical illness, though, Alan.
Well, I was throwing up as well.
Oh, were you? Maybe you'd eaten something. You're not eating any raw chicken or anything, had you?
No. I was just generally worried about me mum and dad.
Well, they worried about you, maybe. You shouldn't be worried about your mum and dad.
Anyway, I digress. I want to do a scene from Goodfellas.
You want to do the scene from Goodfellas?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Have you got an email address?
Yes, I have.
Right, I'll tell you what. I'll hand you back to Sam. We'll get your email address. I will email you the script.
Yeah.
And then we'll call back. Hang on a sec. Bear with me one tick. Let me have a look at the script here. So the scene that we'll do is the classic Goodfellas scene, which is funny like a clown, yeah?
Oh.
Are you up for that? Do you want to be... do you want to be Joe Pesci? Or do you want to be... Oh, what's the other fella?
Ray Liotta.
I'll be Joe Pesci.
Fine, okay. It's a deal. I'm very much looking forward to it. Can you do an Italian-American accent?
I do not know why we have over here. I would like to kill the Shelbys.
Fine, that will do. But they got the Shelbys. Hang on, so that was Peaky Blinders. That's not Goodfellas.
No, they've been attacked by the Mafia in this series.
Oh, I see. Right, okay, fine. Well, it's very topical, very up to date. Right, I'll tell you, Alan. I'll hand you back to Sam. We'll get the email address off you, and we'll email the scene. Can I offer a bit of advice?
Yeah.
Take a deep breath and just maybe run through it a couple of times in front of the mirror.
Okay.
And get into the spirit of it. Joe Pesci's character, he's Tommy, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's an evil bugger. So you need to kind of, you know, just really channel that anger from the pit of your belly.
Yes.
Are we talking Incredible Hulk angry or psychopath angry?
Maybe psychopath. Maybe angry, a bit like Tommy from Goodfellas.
Right.
Does that work for you?
Yeah.
Perfect. Right, well, go speak to Sam. Is he gone? Right, you get him, and I'll have it. Is that Michelle? Is Michelle there? Let's see what Michelle's up to. It's a busy night.
Yeah.
Jamie, how are you?
Oh, hello, Michelle. You're right.
I'm all right. How are you?
Very good, thank you. What are you up to?
First of all, I want to give a shout out to Sassy Kimberly.
Okay. Who are they?
She's one of your callers.
Oh, okay.
And I don't understand why everyone's saying Ian is going to win.
Well, we're just offering a bit of support for a colleague.
Because he hasn't been on yet, and I just think when people go in and they say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, they don't get anywhere. When you go in all nice and cool and calm, you listen more before you say anything.
Yeah.
You listen first.
Keep talking. I've got to turn the headphones up for the periscopers. Keep talking. I'm listening.
And I just think when you're silent and you don't give too much away at the start, somehow you go all the way.
Yeah, but you know they get prompted to say that stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I know they do.
Showbiz.
I know they do. This is true, but, you know, I think he's borderlining a bit obnoxious.
Flipping heck, he's only said about 3 things. You haven't seen nothing yet.
Who's obnoxious, Ian?
Yeah, she's saying he's borderlining already.
I've just realised I've got to change all the swear words out of this scene.
That is hilarious.
So he's not that obnoxious. Ian's not obnoxious.
I think, first of all, I'm loving Boris's dad.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I think he's brilliant. And I love Toff. I don't know any of these people. The only one I know is Amir Khan.
I like Toff as well. Amir Khan is coming across as a bit of a dope, though, isn't he?
I think so. I do. I think so.
Anyway.
I mean, he's no Anthony Joshua, honestly.
Anthony Joshua?
Yeah, he's no Anthony Joshua's like a real life Superman. I don't feel.
I don't know. You couldn't have a conversation. Name me a box that you can have a conversation with.
Oh, he's amazing, Anthony Joshua. I've met him many times.
And
he's fantastic.
And what do you talk about?
We talk about loads of stuff.
You don't.
I do. He lives. He's the boy down the road.
Oh, okay.
In my neighbourhood.
Right.
But I just... Amir Khan is very disappointing. He's not bringing any humour. He's not bringing any great stories. I need something juicy, you know?
He's only been in there a few days.
Yeah, but I don't have patience.
Oh, okay.
So you don't want someone to go bowling in making bold statements, but you want drama?
I want drama, yeah.
Yeah, but that comes from friction.
I miss the days of Janet Street Porter being in there. You know, when she used to talk like this?
Yeah, I know. I know Janet Street Porter.
That's what I'm missing. Paul Burrell. Those days when you had, a couple of really good characters. I don't feel this one's got great characters this season.
It's only been 4 days. It's 3 days it's been, hasn't it?
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see. I'm hoping things will change.
But you know what
I did notice as well? I noticed that they didn't have any, like, USA legend. Usually you have some big Hollywood superstar in there. And this season, they don't have anyone like that.
Well, you know what, Michelle? They don't need to, because they've got Talk Radio's Ian Lee, and he's going to stir S up.
Oh, does Ian work for Talk Radio?
Yeah, this is his show.
What?
Oh, my God. I take everything back.
Too late. We're calling them all out.
I'm covering for him, you daft sausage. Goodness me. Right, we're going to go to a break. Michelle, thanks for calling. Call in a bit later if you want to take part in a scene. We're going to go to a break, so I've got to change all the swearing out of this ride. I forgot that it was... Can we say Mother Bunga? That'll be all right.
That's fine.
We'll change that. I need to change the word begins with a P. Right, let's go to a break. It's Jamie East on Talk Radio. We'll be back in a tick.
Late night conversation, wealth, losing sleep. Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We don't really have ways of making you talk. We're kind of asking nicely.
Yeah, sadly we can't come round there.
No, otherwise we would do. It's Jamie East, hello. Give us a call. 03444991000. We've not really got a massive agenda. Obviously, Ian is looming large. Not in a scary sense, but he's in the jungle. He's now a famous celebrity. So we're wishing him well. Michelle didn't even realise who called him before, didn't even realise he was presenting the show. She was wondering why everyone... Then the penny dropped, didn't it?
Yeah, Kat? Why is everyone talking about
him? Why is everyone saying he's going to win? It's like, well, we're being faithful, you know. We're talking about a few things. I appear to be going to be acting out a scene with Alan.
Yeah. It's going to be compelling.
It's because of the film The Room. It's a fantastic film. It's one of those best worst films ever made. It's kind of legendary in Hollywood, mainly because it's a dreadful film. Full stop. It's full of things like, you know,
you're tearing me apart, Lisa.
That's the big dramatic scene.
Gosh,
it's full of acting like this. This scene took 67 takes for him to say this. Right, listen to this.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bull. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
That's all one line. That's him walking from a door, walking about 10 feet.
That sounded like about three different things cut together.
Yeah, no. And there's no context to this at all. You don't hear any of the preceding conversation. Wow. So he walks out of this room, which is on the roof of a building, and he just launches into...
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bull. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
And then it cuts and Mark's there, but obviously it's shot on a completely different day. So
I need to see this.
It's an incredible, incredible film. But it's been remade. It's James Franco and his brother Dave Franco have kind of told the story, but also they've actually remade the vast majority of the film. It's called The Disaster Artist, and it's out, I think it's out next Friday. I saw it a couple of weeks ago, and it is so, so good.
But are they going to do it faithfully, or are they going to fill in blanks? And
well, the thing is, the guy, this Tommy Wiseau guy, who wrote it, starred in it, and directed it, is quite a weird, clearly, a very strange character. Yeah. He's, you know, he reminds me of, you know, when you meet, when, I don't know, I would say like in the 80s, like an impressionable person going to a nightclub meets like an aging DJ who still thinks he's 19 or pretends he's 19. Slightly creepy.
Yeah.
Well, this Tommy Wiseau guy pretended that he was like 23 when he was clearly pushing 50.
Oh, my God.
He had a face like, I don't know, it's like chiseled out of like just plaster. He was okay. Like, oh, you could Google him.
I'm Googling that sucker now.
He's got a lazy eye.
Wiseau.
Wiseau. Not the French for bird.
Got it.
And
oh, gosh. There's a face.
Yeah. So but it gets stranger because he wrote this film because he obviously couldn't get a gig in Hollywood. But he financed the whole thing. And it cost $6 million. And this guy has all this money, and no one knows where he's from. He insists that he's from New Orleans when he clearly talks like an Eastern Europe, has a Eastern European accent. So it's very strange. It's a great story. But it brought to mind kind of loads of like great bad films. So The Room's one of them, and there are tons of them. So I wanted people to kind of give us a call 03-444-99-1000 or text talk to 87222. What are your best worst films?
Right, mine.
Yeah,
Congo, Anaconda.
Which
they
one
were of
was
a similar time. Congo was the gorilla film where you can see the zips in the back
was
of the gorillas.
Like early '90s.
Yeah,
kind of, yeah.
They were both around the same time. Very unhappy time for cinema. And then there was Anaconda, which was about massive snakes. Again, I mean, snakes on strings, really.
Oh, I remember this one.
It had Jennifer Lopez in it.
Yeah, I remember that one. What about Roadhouse? Gets a lot of people calling in about Roadhouse.
Yeah.
It's been a bad film, but I thought it was good.
Yep, I particularly remember that moment where they're against the wall. That's the standout moment for me.
Oh, you daft Doris.
I think because I was probably watching it too young and at someone's...
Oh, okay. So
someone's mum was out.
A little frizz on.
Definitely.
Oh, okay. I know what I had to talk about. A bit of an update. Everyone does Nick Knowles to death now. The album came out last week.
Yeah.
And all the press, all of the publicity... Where did it get to in the charts, Kath? Do you know?
No. Where?
Have a guess.
100?
So between 100 and number one. I mean, I don't think it got to number one.
Wow, so it's within 100?
It got into the top 100.
Gosh. All right, then, I'm going to be kind. 48.
No, it got to number 96. I mean, that's with a spot on... did he sing live on? Was it Lorraine and all of them?
He's been on, like, Radio 4 and all sorts.
Oh, my God. 96. Do you know, that's less than... I think it's less than 200 copies. You're not going to be happy with that, are you?
Well, I don't know. I think he's the sort of person who's going to be happy with himself no matter what. You know, he put that record out. Did you hear some of the things he was saying? Oh, yeah, I saw a guy who said, it's not that you can't sing, it's just that you don't know how to. And now apparently he does.
Now he does. Well, he clearly doesn't. He's dreadful. I'm quite excited about this. Who have we got? Scott's on. Hey, Scott.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Excellent. What are you up to?
I'm far better than you are.
Sorry?
I'm far better than you.
You're far better than me.
I'm in Jamaica on holiday.
You're on holiday, are you?
Yes, I'm in Jamaica.
You're in Jamaica right now?
Yes. It's been raining today. All day.
Who's that speaking?
It's me, Scott.
Yes, I know that. Who was speaking in the background?
My mum.
Oh, okay. How long are you on holiday for?
We're here for 2 weeks, but we come home next week.
Oh, fantastic. Is it hot?
Yes, very hot.
What?
Keeping tuned in.
Sorry?
I'm keeping tuned into your show.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. What have you been doing in Jamaica?
We've been swimming in the sea. We also went to Bob Marley's house on Monday.
Was he in?
No.
Oh. And that's the end of the story.
Oh. Well, did I offend him with my Bob Marley joke? No.
It's been a Jamaican line.
Does he know he's dead?
Well.
Well, maybe he's, I don't know. Poor Scott. Have a lovely holiday, Scott. Was Alan, is that Alan there? This could be exciting.
Is this the same Alan?
This is Alan, how are you doing? Alan?
I'm in, Jamie!
How are you?
No, I'm just getting in the zone.
You're getting in the zone? Okay, oh, blimey, right. Hang on a second. I need to get the...
He's taking this seriously, I hope you're ready.
Well, I should hope you are. Right, for those of you that aren't listening, or that weren't listening earlier, Alan has very graciously decided to we're gonna what are we doing? Sorry, are we the one? Are you doing the Goodfellas, or were you
Goodfellas?
Yes, it was the other fella that was coming back when he'd thought of something. Oh, we got a break.
Jonathan.
That was Jonathan, wasn't it? Have we got time to do this now, or should we come back after the? Should we got time to do this now?
Yeah, well,
we're doing that. Right, okay. Right, so you got the script in front of you. That's been emailed to you.
Yeah, I got it on my phone.
Oh, Scott's just periscoped. He ain't got much credit on his phone. Scott, don't waste your credit on your phone calling talk radio from Jamaica, you great big Wally. We'd have called...
There's a little thing called Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we'd have called you back, Scott. We'd have called you... Well, perhaps not to Jamaica. You know, part of the News UK now. They've gone mad, you know. Anyway, for those of you that weren't listening, Alan phoned up and we agreed that we were going to do some riffing, do some am-dram. And we're going to reenact the Goodfellas scene, right?
Yeah.
And it's the classic scene, which is funny like a clown. You're going to play Tommy, who was played by Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
Is it Pesci or Pesci? Pesci?
Joe Pesci.
I'm not sure it is, but that's fine. And I'm going to play Henry, who was Ray Liotta.
Yeah, but who's Anthony?
Well, Kath, clearly.
All right.
Anthony, you've got one line.
Okay, what is it?
It is, in brackets, worried...
Okay.
And you've got to say, Tommy, no, you got it all wrong, but in an Italian accent.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be amazing. Hold on a second.
Tommy, no, you got it all wrong. Okay. Let me just
hang on a second. Right. Hold on, Alan. Am I going to... Do I need to go to break now? I'm trying to find the theme tune from Goodfellas. Have I got time? We've got time.
Yeah.
Right. Hold on a second. Bear with me, Alan. Right. What kind of... It's a bit like the Dolmio advert, isn't it? Hold on a second. Bear with me a tick. No, not the good... Oh, no, here we go. Goodfellas. Here we go. This is it. This is it. Soul Heaven, Pasta Boy's Beanie and Martini Mix. Oh, I don't remember this one. Let's roll with this one. Let's roll with this one. It's off the Disco Ventures EP, for goodness sake. Right, are you ready, Alan?
Ready.
Okay. I start. So, in brackets, to set the scene, Tommy has just told a story that's cracked up the entire company of gangsters at a table. I'm Henry and I'm laughing hard. Really funny. Really funny.
What do you mean I'm funny?
Well, you're just funny. You know the story. It's funny. You're a funny guy.
What do you mean? The way I talk? What?
It's just, you know, it's just funny. You know, the way you tell the story and everything.
Funny? How? I mean, what's funny about it?
Tommy, no. You got it all wrong.
Whoa, Anthony. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say? Funny? How? What?
You just, you know, you're funny.
You mean... Let me understand this, because maybe it's me. Maybe I'm a little bunged up, maybe. I'm funny? How? I mean, funny? Like I'm a clown?
Yes.
I amuse you? I make you laugh? I'm here to bring and amuse you? What do you mean, funny? Funny? How? How am I funny?
I don't know, just, you know, how you tell the story. What?
No, I don't know. You said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny? How the fuck am I funny? What the fuck is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny!
Long suspenseful pause. Is someone going to die? Get the bung out of here!
Mother bunger! I almost had him! I almost had him! You stuttering pansy here! Wangy, what are you shaking? I will know about you sometimes, Henry. You may fall under questioning!
My goodness me,
Pesci there. I heard him.
We are in the presence of greatness. That was fantastic. How do you feel?
Oh, I can't wait to listen back to the podcast.
Oh.
There won't be one.
Hold your breath. We'll listen again on the radio app. Yeah, we'll clip it up. You do that. Do you feel... you got goosebumps? Is the adrenaline flowing?
It came naturally to me.
It did it really. I'll tell you what, we're going to go to a break. I'm going to speak to you again in a bit, Alan. We need to maybe start having to think about what else you can do. Maybe we'll go for a love scene.
Yeah.
Maybe the When Harry Met Sally scene. Let's try that. We're going to take a break now.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation. Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, yeah, I'm in for Ian Lee. I'm also in for Rufus. Where's Rufus?
Rufus, undisclosed location.
Undisclosed. Okay, okay. Fine. Shouting loudly at someone.
Yeah, let's just say he's writing a book in Wales. Work for Ian.
Why not? Why not? Hello, everybody. It's Jamie East here covering for Rufus, covering for Ian. Give me a call. 03444991000. You can call about anything you want, actually. Just anything. It's kind of open. It's open house tonight. We have found ourselves in a kind of... in a weird wormhole where I'm reading out, just doing scripts. It's off the back of The Room, which is the best worst film ever made. Tommy Wiseau, Google it. It's amazing. It's got loads and loads of just some of the best scenes ever made. Give us a call. If you want to suggest a scene as well, we've just done Funny Like a Clown from Goodfellas with Alan. Alan, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, fella.
Yeah, I'm just reading the script.
Right, okay, so we've done Funny Like a Clown. Whilst we're waiting for other people to come in, I was hoping, I got told that I needed more female voices on the show.
Right, yeah.
Because otherwise, because I have got quite a blokey voice, and luckily you're here, and obviously you are a female.
Oh.
So I thought that, I thought this would get people involved in calling in, and unfortunately not in time, so you're going to have to take the mantle for this. We're doing When Harry Met Sally scene in the diner.
Okay.
And you're Sally.
Yeah.
I get the feeling this is something we can't unhear. What's going to happen?
Why would you want to unhear? Right, so have you got the script in front of you?
Yeah, I've got it on my phone.
Right, hold on a second then. Right, so you're Sally, I'm Harry. It's kind of New York accent. Wait, it's Meg Ryan. So just play an all-American sweet girl.
Nicey-nicey.
Alan. Hi, how you doing?
That's more Leeds, but that's fine. Okay, so in brackets, it's Harry and Sally are at a diner. Go.
So what do you do with these women? Do you just get up out of bed and leave?
Sure.
Well, explain to me how you do it. What do you say?
You say you got to have an early meeting, early haircut, or a squash game.
You don't play squash.
Oh, God, we're not even going to... they don't know that. They just met me.
That's disgusting.
I know. I feel terrible.
You know, I'm so glad I never got involved with you. Or it just ended up being some woman you had to get out of bed and leave at 3 o'clock in the morning and clean your hand, eyes, and you do that. I was like, not what I would have noticed.
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You're a human of fun, tall women, and I am a woman.
Hey, I don't feel great about this, but I don't hear anyone complaining.
Of course not. You're out the door too fast.
I think they have an okay time.
How do you know?
What do you mean, how do I know? I know.
Because they...
Yes, because they...
And how do you know that they really...
What are you saying? That they fake orgasms?
It's possible.
Get out of here!
Why? Most women at one time or another have faked it.
Well, they haven't faked it with me.
How do you know?
Because I know!
Oh, right. That's right. Uppercut, you're a man.
Oh, so I've lost. What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. It's just that all men are still right. Never have a dream, and that most women at one time or another have...
No, I'm not having that, Alan. You've got to start that line again. Keep the American accent going.
Nothing. It's just that all men are still... It never happened to them, and that most women at one time or another have done it, so you do the math.
You don't think I could tell the difference?
No.
Get out of here.
Oh. Oh.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Are you okay?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Right there. Yes. 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 Oh, God! Oh, yes! Ooh!
Ooh! Sally finishes, looks at Harry and smiles. Harry looks back, looking a little uneasy. Lady from another table.
I'll have what she's having.
Yes!
Oh, God! I had to take my headphones off. I couldn't listen to that directly. It's like looking at the sun.
I couldn't. I got too aroused. Alan, that was incredible.
So sounded like something out of a CD phone line.
Sounded like something from the zoo, actually.
Oh, Alan. I bet you're going...
best relations or Deutsche Mano, anyway.
I hope you weren't method acting.
I was.
We don't need to know. Alan, thank you so much, my friend.
No worries.
If anyone's
go
listening...
Team Ian.
Pardon?
Go Team Ian.
Go Team Ian. If anyone's listening and wants to get involved, 03444991000, 03444991000, it's easy. You can either get involved... Come at me with a scene. Come at me with a scene. Email it in. I don't know what the email address is. Perhaps don't do that just yet. I'll have a think about it. If you've got a scene that you want me to play with Alan, we can call Alan back. What was the Jonathan from Swansea? He was a bit... Where is he anyway? He was supposed to be calling back. He was supposed to be... Yeah, exactly. If you're listening, Alan...
Doesn't have a pen.
Shout for Jonathan. Do you know Jonathan?
Oh, who doesn't?
Right, tell him to get
he
a move
on. To pick an argument with Ian about every little thing. Jonathan, if you've got the balls to call back, 0344-499-1000, call us back now, or I'll take over.
He's doing my job for me. Thank you, Alan. We may well speak to you later. If anyone's got any suggestions for a role that they'd like to hear Alan play, I'm thinking Spartacus, I'm thinking Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh. Scarlett O'Hara.
Alan. Alan.
Yeah?
Hannibal Lecter. Oh, I'm already getting the chills. We'll speak to you later, Alan.
Okay.
Goodness me. This is exciting stuff. When's the judging panel for the BAFTAs? We'll find out. It's Jamie East covering for me and Lee on Talk Radio. Give us a call. 03444991000. I get it wrong. How do I say it? Is it
03444991000?
That was it. It's the 499 bit 1000. Give us a call. 03444991000. Oh, I've done it wrong again. 03444991000 and give us a call if you want movie scenes, also anything you want, actually. It's open house. One of the joys in life, I found a watch that I'd lost for 3 years the other day.
Blimey,
it's that watch there.
Why is it when you give up on stuff that's when it appears again?
Exactly. Well, you know what, it arrived a bit late because I'd already accused a plumber of nicking it. So there you go. I had a humble pie all over my shirt. Okay, we're gonna go and grab a break. Give me a call in a bit. 03444991000. Bye.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Jamie East, in for Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Evening, evening, evening. It's Jamie Easton for Ian Lee, as the person just said. It's open house. Call us about anything you want. 03444991000. Was that the right?
Kinda. It's the right numbers.
It's the same numbers. It's about the phonetics of it all, isn't it? And I forget what it was. Is it? I can never remember the Virgin one either. I'm a DJ from downstairs on Virgin every weekday from 10 till 1. And just been brought in to cover for Ian or cover for Rufus. Rufus is writing a book in Wales now. Does that mean he's on Dancing in Ice?
Yeah.
Shh. Oh, sorry. Man, he'd just tell everyone, wouldn't he, Rufus?
Of course he would. Little...
Did you know? You know I'm dancing? Oh, no. Anyway, give us a call. Happy to chat. Just like, hey, oh, hello, Kyle.
Evening, you all right, Jamie?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Evening, Cass.
Hiya.
I was going to say, Joe, just your American accent, and I've got to be really careful how I say it.
It's good, isn't it?
It sounded very much like Cupid Stunt.
Oh, okay.
As in Kenny Everett, the best possible
taste. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. On the best possible taste. That was my Italian-American accent. I'm very good at it. I can do New York. I can do Boston. I can... No, that's it.
Can you ask for a cup of coffee?
Can I have a quap of coffee?
A quap?
A quap of coffee. Is that how it is?
Yeah.
It's something like that.
A quap of coffee.
What are you... Sorry. Well, you do an accent then. All right, do Kyle. What's you're from Rochdale, right?
Oh, yes.
So do you know Lisa Stansfield?
She drinks in the St. Pub I go in, the Bourne.
She was. Have we had this conversation before? I'm having a massive flash of déjà vu now.
We kind of did, because you told me, I think, she was allergic to her own spit.
Yeah.
What?
It's one of my favourite pop star facts of all time.
She's allergic to her own spit.
She. Lisa Stansfield disappeared from the pop world for a number of years because she was allergic to her own spit.
How did it manifest itself?
In kind of
talking like that
mouth ulcers.
Oh, blimey!
She had a lot of jocking mouth ulcers. But she went all around the world and ended up not being able to even talk properly because allergic to her own
did
spit.
Did you see her talking to Naga Monchetti on the sofa about Prince and how apparently he was he propositioned her?
Naga Monchetti? No.
Yeah. So it's very proper, that programme, isn't it? Sort of BBC Breakfast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very
yeah.
carefully on the sofa. Yeah. It looks the most uncomfortable thing in the world. Anyway, Lisa Stanfield is sort of... sitting on one of the sofas, and Naga's talking about Prince going, oh yes, well once I was in a club and it was like my 22nd birthday and he beckoned me over and well, let's just say he was interested. Lisa Stansfield goes straight in there with, so, did you or didn't you?
And did she?
She wouldn't answer.
She wouldn't answer.
No, so I bet Lisa thought she did.
Without wanting to kind of show any disrespect to her story, I would imagine that any female within a 60-foot radius of Prince was propositioned at
yeah,
that point.
Yeah, very sexy man.
He just enjoyed himself.
And everyone else.
Adam Ant, I knew Adam Ant for a while.
Oh,
and
did you?
And he once had a fight with Prince over a girl. A Pollyanna, do you remember a Pollyanna? Is it a Pollyanna?
Was she one of the...
The one that was in Purple Rain.
Yeah.
Him and Prince fell out over him. Interesting, isn't it?
I can see why that might happen. That's not the one where he ended up throwing an engine through a pub window, is it?
Who, Prince? He couldn't pick up an engine.
Not Prince. Of course he couldn't. Didn't
imagine if Prince sat in the pub. Hang on a second, what's Prince doing carrying an engine? Is that Prince carrying an engine? Bloody hell, he's throwing it through the... No, Prince, don't do it!
A flash of purple and the sound of high heels.
No, but Adam Ant did throw it, and that was when he turned up with a pistol and it all went a bit wrong for him.
Oh, dear.
But you know, in all fairness, do you know what triggered Adam's kind of mental health problems?
No, go on.
He had a stalker, like a really serious stalker for many, many years.
Right.
And when he moved out to LA, and he was becoming an actor, and he was in like The Equalizer and stuff like that.
Right.
He got this really, really bad stalker. And the story is he went home one night, and a really nice home, and there was a birthday cake for him on their kitchen table. He went there back there with his girlfriend at the time, or his wife at the time, and there was a birthday cake to him, and he was just like, what the? And she was upstairs in a wedding dress, sat on his bed.
That is a serious delusion, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a bit terrifying. I don't know how we got from Lisa Stansfield's spit to Adam Ant's stalker, but I'm blaming you, Kyle.
I was going to say, did Adam Ant just sort of... I would imagine he's quite a tall chap. Did he not just like...
It's not, he's tall.
He's a wee bit, isn't he?
He's a wee little fella, yeah.
Who's smallest, Prince or him?
Oh, Prince is only about 3 foot... Was only about 3 foot two, I think. Kylie had to bend down to say hello.
Did she?
I don't know.
Adamant could have just stuck his hand out then, and Prince would have been just swinging punches.
What, holding him by the forehead?
I wonder what you're going to say then. I was trying to work the height difference. He might have got a bit of a handful of something he didn't really want. Kyle, what are you going to act? You can't phone in without bringing anything to the table.
Well, I was going to ask you for something from your film critic side of point of view. However, I have four scenes that I thought you and Alan could do perfectly.
Why me and Alan? Why not me and you?
Well, it's because I'm rubbish at acting. I know my limitations.
Well, we're talking about The Room.
Listen to this. This was Alan from a minute ago.
So what do you do with these women? Do you just get up out of bed and leave?
Sure.
Well, explain to me how you do it. What do you say?
You say you got to have an early meeting, early haircut or a squash game.
You don't play squash.
Oh, God, we've not even got... Yeah, I mean, you know, so I wouldn't worry too much, Kyle.
Well, the four I had was the title. Even though I've never seen it, although I know the bit where Kate Winslet gets him out. The Titanic.
The classic one. Are we doing that? What, me and you?
Well, I don't know. Well, the other ones I had was Star Wars, where he says, "I am your," you know, without giving the plot line away.
Yeah. Okay.
Something from Jaws, but I can't remember. And the one that Catherine always picks me up on for the bit in Rocky, but I say Adrian, but I think she always says Adrian all the other way around.
Adrian!
That's the one.
Okay, you know what? The one I like out of that is the Paint Me Like Your French Girls.
Yeah.
We'll do that one. Are you suggesting that Alan does that?
I think Alan would do that far better than I could do it.
Alan, if you're listening, Google it.
Don't you want to do it with Alan? I think I'd like to hear both of you. It would be electric.
You could be... Hey, Kyle, you can be blooming Leonardo DiCaprio here. I mean, Alan's clearly the pantomime dame in all of this. He's our Biggins. So I think Kyle...
Yeah.
Go and Google the scene. Alan will be listening. Alan, if you're listening, you're Kate Winslet. You're stark naked on a chaise lounge on the Titanic.
He'll have seen it a lot.
He'll have seen it a lot. And you're about to be painted by Leo. So stop, Alan, if you're listening, Google that. And I want both of you back on the phones in 5 minutes.
Well, I'll give it a go.
But right. Kyle, don't give it a go. Own this. Okay?
I will own it.
Deep breaths.
It's your time to shine, Kyle.
This is it. This is
I'll
your.
I'll do it, Cass. I'll
as,
do it.
As Martine, said, this is your perfect moment.
She's right.
She's right. That's before she went to the. Oh, I almost told a great story about Martine McCutcheon. Then has she said that story? She kept, yes, she has.
The one about being sick in the dreadlocks.
No,
there's a better one than that.
There's a better one with that. The story, you know, she after Love Actually, she was like the darling of well, let's say not Hollywood, maybe not the whole of Hollywood.
Yeah.
But she got taken to a party at the Oscars to and she was mingling and it was her quite literally her perfect moment, but she got battered. She got absolutely battered, and I think vomit was involved at there.
Oh, Martine.
And that was the end of her Hollywood career. Poor Martine.
It's easily done, though, isn't it?
Well, just, you know, have one drink pint water. That's the rule, isn't it?
Yeah, one
especially,
to one.
I would imagine, at Elton John's Vanity Fair Oscars party.
Oh, wow. Was it there?
I think so. I think it was one of those. Martine, if you're listening, love, she might. Well, you know, actually, there's every chance she probably is. Just give us a call, you know. Give us a call. Come in. I once inadvertently shared a Christmas party with Martine McCutcheon.
Did you?
In the King's Road, yeah, with the old business when I used to run Holy Moly. First works do, went to the pub around the corner, and they'd double booked. So all the staff of Holy Moly were there with Martine McCutcheon with just a load of randos from Chelsea.
Oh. I
ended up sharing a Christmas do.
Was she all right about it?
No, she's right, snotty
kid. Hi, Martine.
In touch. If you're listening, Martine, 03444999. I've done it again. 03444991000. That will that do?
It'll be fine.
If you're listening, it's kind of open season, so get in touch with about anything you want, really. We've kind of found ourselves talking about film scripts and reenacting famous film scripts. But you can get in touch about anything, really. If you've got words of wisdom about Ian in the Jungle, some thoughts on how you think that's going to go.
Mm.
How long do we think it's going to last? Hang a sec. How much holiday is he booked off?
Well, it's kind of open-ended at this point.
Is it?
Yeah, well, it's three weeks for sure, I think.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
But then they get to stay... So he might stay a bit longer than that if he wins?
Yeah, I think there's plans to visit family out there. He's got family.
Oh, okay.
So he might have a week there.
The ideal, if we're being frank, is to leave a week early. So get booted off a week before it ends,
yeah.
So that you're still on ITV's dollar, so you're still in that 6-star hotel.
Yeah, live it up at the Versace.
On the Versace Hotel. It's supposed to be absolutely blinding. Invite all the family over to there on ITV's dollar.
Job done.
Can't say a bloody word about
it. But I've seen PJ and Duncan, Ant and Dec, go into the shop, like the spa around the corner, and coming back with carrier bags. What is it that they can get there that they can't get the Versace?
Well, with Ant, who knows? He's had a dark few years.
Poor lad.
Six bottles of whiskey and 50 paracetamol. Who knows? Poor Ant. I mean, nowadays, it'll just be Evian. He probably runs there.
Yeah.
Probably does lunges all the way there for some Evian. Other water's probably available in Australia, but I wouldn't drink it. Get in touch and let us know. We're talking about Ian in the Jungle, talking about films. Two guests got sacked off. I was going to speak to Shovel from M People. Fancy getting blown out by Shovel from M People. It's not even Heather. It's not even Mike Pickering, the saxophone player.
What was his excuse?
I don't know.
Bongo engagement.
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether it was one of those weird ones where... He had a really good story. He was on. He's doing a show on. I think it was Dave or really one of the UK TV channels, and it was a bit like Who Do You Think You Are, where it was about a family story, and it was a really touching story, and I thought it'd be really good to talk to him about it. It was where the story was that he was told he was adopted
right.
when he was a child, and that his mum and dad weren't his real mum and dad. Because he's mixed race, and I think his parents were white. I think his adopted parents were white. So he got brought up in this whole story, and then there was some life event happened, and he actually found out that his adopted mother was actually his real mum.
Wow.
And she had a one-night stand with a man who was obviously a black or mixed race himself. And this was the story that they concocted in order for her to be able to keep him, because back then it was kind of, you know, it was a horrible kind of
story. First of all, having had an affair, and secondly, you know, mixed race children.
Yeah, out of wedlock, and yeah, so the dad knew.
Right.
Obviously, he's adopted. Is not his natural dad. Knew. It was quite. It was a really touching story.
So, what, his dad had taken her on pregnant?
Yeah.
Oh, I
yeah.
see.
No. They were married.
Oh,
they were together. So she'd had a bit of a flinger armor, and I think it actually. He only found out when he turned up at the hospital to see his son, and was presented with a baby of clear mixed race.
Wow.
I mean, it's like a Mike Leigh film.
Yeah, it is. One man though, his dad doing that.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a really good story. Mm. It was, and he'd done a program about it. So it wasn't like a big expose. He'd done a kind of "Who Do You Think You Are" program, yeah. And it was really, really good. So I wanted to get him on to talk about that. So I don't know why he wouldn't. But he agreed to it. His agent agreed to it. And then ITV put the kibosh on. I don't know why Fremantle were involved, but they got involved and it just disappeared. And then they won't return my calls. I've been blocked by a shovel from M People. And then, so I thought, well, what can replace shovel from M People? I know, the guy that does all the stats for Pornhub.
Right.
So he's going to come on. Talk about it. He was going to come on with real time stats. He's going to be able to log in to the Pornhub kind of back end, if you pardon that awful phrase. He's going to plug into Pornhub's back end,
yeah,
and reveal kind of like interesting stats about it all. So what happened?
Shovel got in touch with him as well.
Yeah,
ganging up.
Fremantle are just going around just bad mouthing me. But I think he's going to come on next. Hopefully next. I think I'm doing the 30th as well. So I think he's going to come on then. Sally.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. I am not acting.
You are, don't you dare. You can't say that. You don't know.
I was going to phone in about worst films.
Okay. Yeah, lovely.
Okay. Fateful Findings.
What's it called, sorry?
Fateful Findings.
Fateful Findings. It sounds atrocious.
Yes.
Right, paint a picture for the listeners.
Oh, God, where do I start? It's Neil Breen.
Oh, my God, I'm looking at... It's only from 2013.
Is it a made-for-TV thing?
No. He thinks he's the best actor, he thinks he's the best director, writer, everything.
Wow.
And always in his films, he's this top genius, a hacker... going to destroy the government.
He's watched 24, hasn't he? He wants to be Jack Bauer.
Yeah, but the acting is just atrocious. It is so appalling. And the direction and everything. But there's some really, really funny things on YouTube.
Okay, I'm going to have a look now. Keep talking.
There's the suicide one. Fateful Findings, Suicide.
Well, that's not normally a rich vein.
So Fateful Findings is a series, is it?
No, it's a film.
Oh, I see. So this is a particular scene out of it. Are there rude words in it?
No.
Are you sure?
No, I promise. No, I don't think there's any rude words in these films, actually, thinking about it.
Not even any swearing?
No swearing. No, I promise you.
Okay.
I promise.
Jim! So I need to paint a picture. There's a guy on the floor lying next to a Ferrari in a can of WD-40.
Yeah, his wife has just shot him, but she's made it look like a suicide.
Oh, evil care. Hold on a second, let's have a listen.
And he's just come in and found him.
Jim!
Yeah?
Call 911!
And this is Neil Breen.
Jim!
Yeah.
He's got hair like wire wool.
Jim. How could you have done this? Jim!
I like him. I know his wife, but he's trying to...
I can't believe you committed suicide.
Hang on a minute.
I cannot believe you committed suicide. How could you have done this? How could you have committed suicide?
Mate, he's dead.
I can't help you out of this one, Jim.
No, he's dead. I can't help you out of this one.
Oh, but it's so funny. And there's the last scene of the film, it's about 5 or 6 minutes long, and it's him taking down the government.
Him what? Hating on the government?
He's taking them down.
And oh, he's taking the government down?
Yeah,
wow.
He's got this press conference going on, and everybody's sort of, you know, loads of cameras are there, and it's this, he's obviously got a green screen of Congress behind him, and... Oh, God, it's just awful. It's so awful, but so good.
And have you got this on DVD? How did you discover this, I presume?
I watch a series on YouTube called The Best of the Worst.
Right, okay.
Red Letter Media, and they sit and they watch the most worst films you can imagine, and then they have to pick the best of the worst.
Nice. What a great pastime.
It's hilarious.
I like that very much.
Yeah.
Now, you are going to have to sing for your supper, I'm afraid.
No, don't, please don't.
It's got to be done. You've got a choice of, we can either do...
Yeah.
The scene from Gladiator.
Oh, God.
Are You Not Entertained? Which is a great scene, yeah? Or we could do Silence of the Lambs, the scene where Clarice first meets Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, I can do a sure, so...
You can do what?
The sure. The scene that, you know, she keeps saying sir all the time and...
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Sure.
Fine. Okay, we'll do that then. So I'm going to email you... Can you give Sam your email address?
Yeah, okay.
I'll email you the script.
Okay.
But just to warn you,
yeah,
you're Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, all right then. All right. Okay then.
Sally, you got 5 minutes.
All right.
Bye. Hello, if you just caught her, if you just tuned in, it's Jamie East here covering for Ian Lee, covering for Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Give us a call, 03444991000. It's just open house. We are talking film. You can call us about anything, though. We're talking about Ian in the Jungle. We're talking about films, talking about lost items, anything you want. I tell you what, we're going to go for a break, and we're going to come back, and we've got Silence of the Lambs. And what was that? We're still waiting for...
With the French Girls.
Painting the French Girls with Kyle and Alan. Oh.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hello, it's Jamie here, in for Ian on Talk Radio. Give us a call, 03444991000. Open house. Call about anything you want. First shovel, then your Pornhub statistician, and now Caddick's pulled out of being Kate Winslet in Titanic.
What is going on with you today?
Well, I mean, we did mine him for everything he got. We left him a husk of a man, to be fair. He was just an empty shell. He was spent just blowing up dust. Play the clip. We've got orgasm clip.
Oh, God. Oh.
Are you okay?
Oh. Oh, God. Oh. Oh. Oh, God.
I'm going to keep playing this. We need a Kate. Oh. We need a Kate Winslet to call in.
Oh, God.
Kyle, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Right there.
I'm here.
What do you think to that?
Yes.
I get out of field. Yes.
Right, Kyle, he's pulled out. So you were going to be... Well, it's not just yet. I think you hear the moment he does.
Almost.
It's still going.
Terrifying.
We didn't even loop that.
Imagine that looming over you in the darkness.
Oh, exactly. Get chocolate mousse all over the valance. Carl, you were going to be Leo DiCaprio, weren't you?
Yeah, now I've managed to find it just... Took me in the last break to find the script, but I've never seen the film, so I don't quite know what's going on with it.
Oh,
I think
on.
I've got it.
It doesn't matter. Did you hear that? What just happened there?
Well, yeah, I think, but I don't know who's who, and I don't know what the director, because I can only find two versions of scripts, and it's not in script format. But I'll give it a go.
Well, we need to find an understudy first. You're Leo. We need to find a Kate. So, yeah. If you're listening, if you're out there, Kate Winslet, Kathy Burke sometimes listens, doesn't she?
She does.
Kathy, if you're listening, hey, it's Jamie here. I know I'm not Ian, but give us a call, 03444991000, if you fancy just being Kate Winslet, just for just literally 30 seconds. I know it's not exactly nil by mouth, but get in touch, because we can do this. If anyone else is listening that isn't Kathy Burke that wants to get in touch, give us a call. We'd love to love for you to get involved with Kyle. Sally?
No!
What? Did you get the script?
I did. Oh, yeah, I did.
Right, okay, so hold on a second. We need some... Excuse me, I've got a bit of a cough. What kind of music do we need for Silence of the Lambs kind of music? It's kind of sinister, isn't it?
Yeah, creepy music.
Creepy music. Hold on a second.
I can't do his voice.
They all say that, but I bet
just
you'll try.
Just talk like that, Sally.
Hold on a second. I tell you what's quite sinister. This is quite a sinister... It's The Chauffeur by Duran Duran. This could work.
That'll do,
won't it?
Right. Oh, God.
Right. So let me be honest. Why has it stopped? So, oh, it's because I'm just shut the blooming thing down. Right, imagine that's playing in the background. Right, so the scene is in Silence of the Lambs. Kyle, bear with us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, Sally, the scene in Silence of the Lambs is where Clarice first meets Hannibal Lecter for the very first time. I will play Clarice. You are going to play one of the greatest cinematic creations of all time, Sir Anthony Hopkins. To be honest, his breakthrough role. He was a struggling theatre actor until this kind of really sorted him out. This is one of the greatest film roles of all time. So don't cock it up.
Oh.
Okay, so she's walked in. She's walked down the corridor. Miggs has already said that thing that we can't really say on the radio, so we'll pass that bit by. And she's staring at the glass. She says, "Good morning, Dr. Lecter. My name's Clarice Starling. May I speak with you?"
"You're one of Jack Crawford's, aren't you?"
I don't think he laughed, but Karen, "I am, yes."
"May I see your credentials?"
"Certainly."
"Closer, please, closer."
Pauses.
"That expires in 1 week. You're not a real FBI, are you?"
He's trying a bit harder, Sally, okay. "I'm still in training at the academy."
You sound like Woody Allen.
Do I?
Yes.
I meant to sound like, now I'm Jodie Foster.
All right.
One of the guys, come on. Look, take this seriously. So, okay. Jack, it's you.
Okay. "Jack Crawford sent a trainee to me."
"Yes, I'm a student. I'm here to learn from you. Maybe you can decide whether or not I'm qualified enough to do that."
"That is rather slippery of you, Agent Starling." "Sit, please. Now then, tell me. What did Mick say to you? Multiple Micks in the next cell. He hissed at you. What did he say?"
"He said, 'I can smell your... aunt.'"
"I see. I myself cannot. You use Evian skin cream, and sometimes you wear the air detail, but not today."
"Did you draw all these drawings, Doctor?"
"That is the... what is that word?
Duomo.
Duomo scene from the Belvedere.
Do you know Florence... oh, we need to up the pace a bit. We're losing the crowd, I think."
"Okay.
Do you know Florence, all that detail just from memory, sir?"
"Memory, Agent Starling, is what I have instead of a view."
"Well, perhaps you care to lend us your view on this questionnaire, sir."
"Oh, no, 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 no. You were doing fine. You have been courteous and receptive."
"Have you seen the Silence of the Lambs, Sally? What's going on here?"
I saw it when I was, like, 14.
Right, he's a serial killer. He's a serial killer. There's a scene in it where he cuts off someone's face and wears it to escape from, you know... It's not a walk in the park.
"But you picked the wrong person to do it."
Come on, Sally, commit.
Commit. Okay. You need to be angry. You need to be sinister. Imagine that you're going to kill me.
Do it low and slow, Sally.
Okay. You had established trust.
Well, that just sounds exactly the same. his big speech at the bottom there. "You're so ambitious, aren't you?" Do that.
Okay.
But get into it. Get into it.
"You're so ambitious. You're so ambitious, aren't you? Do you know what you look like? With your good bag and your cheap shoes, you look like a rube, a well-scrubbed, hustling rube, with a little taste, good nutrition, giving you length of bone, but you're not more than one generation from poor white trash, are you? And that accent you've tried so desperately to shed, pure West Virginia. What is your father, dear? Is he a coal miner? Does he stink of the lamp? How quickly the boys found you, all those tedious, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars, while you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
Wow. I tell you what, that's I'm terrified.
Yeah.
I'm terrified that I'm never going to work again.
I think the soundtrack really added to it, though.
Well, I think so. If there's nothing that Private Dancer cannot solve. Sally, that was wonderful.
Sorry.
I bet you're really glad you phoned in. I just saw on Twitter you wanted to talk about JFK, though, first.
Oh, well, no, well...
Has that ship sailed?
That ship's well gone, yeah.
Okay. Kyle, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, boss.
Right, we're still waiting for an understudy, but I believe we got Matt Scott on the... What's that there? Oh, that's Talk Sport. Can we not get him on? Can we grab that? Is that how it works? Can I see who's phoning in Talk Sport as well?
Yeah.
Oh, we share the line 13. Kyle, we're still waiting for your Kate Winslet.
It's fine. I'm all right to wait for a bit. It's all right.
Okay, fine. Lovely stuff. If you're listening, Kate, if you're out there, then 03444991000 is the number. We're looking for someone to be Kate Winslet in the scene of Titanic.
Yeah, so we're thinking someone who's feminine and attractive. I'm going to make a request. I wonder if Gatford's listening.
I don't know who Gatford is.
Oh, Gatford would be absolutely perfect for the part.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's lovely.
Okay.
03444991000.
Lovely stuff. Or text. Well, actually, you can't text because we need you to... You can't text your voice. But text if you're interested. We could call you straight back. Talk to 87 treble 2. We're talking also about loads of stuff, really. I know what I was going to do. I'm going to do celebrity biographies.
Oh, yeah.
So, my mate Eamon has a great hobby where he buys really naff celebrity autobiographies from charity shops and just mines the gold out of them. And what I thought I would do, and I'll try it with you, Kath.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to take part, then do call in. Is I'll read an excerpt from one of these biographies and see if you can guess what celebrity it is. Okay? Right. One second, let me just click on this. If Eamon's listening, I'm basically nicking your work. Right, and let's have a look at this. So this is the celebrity's take on childbirth. Yes, it was. In fact, Jill, he revealed, was on the pill. Children did not figure in their plans. I can't imagine us having children, he said at the time. Not at the moment, anyhow. That would be disastrous. The idea of being woken up at 3 a.m. when I have to get up at 4:45 just doesn't appeal. I'll wait till some brilliant obstetrician invents a way of babies being born at 5 years old without making the lady's eyes water too much.
Obstetrician? American?
No.
Gosh. Maidley.
Oh, that's a good one, actually. That is a good one. It's not Maidley, but it's not far off Maidley at all. It's very Maidley-esque, a bit earlier than Maidley. There's another excerpt here about his time he first met a man called Mike, who was also a television presenter.
Oh.
Mike was still close to... But he also thought some of his personal relationships were a bit strange. Mike, who is married to the TV presenter Sarah, recalls going to stay at the house in Buckinghamshire when was going out with Debbie. We were in his dining room, and there were just the four of us, myself and Sarah, Debbie and... And there was a picture on the wall. It was a very strange picture. A colour photograph taken on the lawn outside the house of posing with his cars and Jill. It was still on the wall, even though he and Jill were divorced. And he pointed up at the picture and turned round to Debbie and said in front of us, and we hardly knew Debbie at all, "There you are, my dear. One day that could all be yours if you behave yourself." It was the most demeaning thing you could say to anybody in other people's company. So he's an egomaniac.
Yeah.
He's a TV presenter.
Edmund.
Correct. What was it that gave it away?
Hanging out with Sarah Green and Mike
everyone's
Smith.
Everyone on Periscope saying Paul Ross. No.
No. No. God. It was that.
That's an autobiography we are never going to read out on air.
God. I mean, chapter 8.
Edmonds.
Edmonds. It's the sort of thing he would say, wouldn't it? All this could be yours.
Mm. He goes on to say... hold on a second. I can't read it. I think it's a bit rude.
Can you not substitute words?
I'm just trying to work out if I can. Yeah. This is his take on marriage.
Oh, God, here we go.
So this is Noel Edmonds' take on marriage. Noel was keen to assure everyone that his marriage was in fine shape. And in an extraordinary interview with the Daily... Bear in mind, he wrote this book.
He wrote himself in the third person?
Well, I think it's one of those ones where I think the ghostwriter didn't exist. You know, we're like... people pretend they have an agent.
Yeah, I rang Betty Boothroyd once and her secretary answered the phone.
Oh, really?
It was definitely her.
Amazing.
Yeah, she was doing a northern accent, but it was her.
Hugh Grant did that. Also, I think Dale Winton almost certainly did that for a long, long time.
Well, so they had assistants at home, we're supposed to believe.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Matt Richardson, who also DJs on Virgin, he has a made-up agent. He has a made-up assistant. So he's got mattrichardson.co.uk.
Right.
Or Matt Richardson Comedy, whatever his email address is, and invented someone called Sylvia, I think. Someone called Sylvia. He's going to kill me for telling you this. He's invented someone called Sylvia, who's basically just him using a different email address.
Right.
Blagging stuff. Amazing. Because it's just a little bit more official. If it's like, hello, I'm Sylvia, emailing on behalf of Matt Richardson, the comedian, wondering if I could have, I don't know, 4 tickets to Winter Wonderland press night.
It's actually genius. And you can be a lot cheekier when you're doing it on behalf of someone else.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And then, because then you can go, oh my God, still, I can't believe she did that. She's so, I apologise, but thank you for my 4 free tickets to Winter Wonderland.
She said what?
Exactly. Exactly. Right, back to this. Noel was keen to assure everyone that his marriage was in fine shape. And in an extraordinary interview with the Daily Mail, he spoke openly about his love life. Prepare yourself, ladies and gentlemen. In every aspect of what a man wants from a woman, I could not have found a better partner. Helen's physical attraction for me has never changed. Intimately, our relationship is better than it has ever been. I'm very possessive. She's mine. I've got a bit of paper to say I bought her.
Sounds so Partridge.
Of course we have disagreements. We're two quite forceful people. We'll say awful things to each other, but we're very quick to make up and forgive each other. I trust her. That doesn't stop me noticing the bloke in the restaurant who's hardly eaten anything because he's staring at my wife. But on the other hand, I love it when Helen dresses in a sexy way.
Oh, gosh!
Oh, God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I mean, the guy in the restaurant that he's writing about probably looked over and thought, oh, Christ, he's caught me. I didn't realise it was Noel Edmonds' wife.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear what Noel Edmonds thinks about fidelity?
Always.
Right. Kyle's still on the line. Sorry, Kyle. We're still waiting for Kate. Are you all right?
No, I'm all right. I was thinking, does Noel have a bonquette?
Noel Edmonds, a bonquette? What's a bonquette?
Well, it's what Partridge used to use in his caravan.
Oh, it was, wasn't it? Yes, you're right. You're right. Noel Edmonds flies helicopters, for goodness sake. He'll have something a bit more grand. Listen to this. This is what Noel Edmonds has got to say about fidelity. He also revealed the lengths to which he goes to assure Helen that he's being faithful. Helen doesn't get jealous. When I'm not at home, we talk at least 5 times a day on the phone, and every day my office produces an itinerary with all my movements.
Healthy.
So she knows exactly what I'm doing. He's projecting. I've had women openly flirting with me right in front of Helen. I was really taken aback. It's a funny thing about women that they do like to go after married men. To me, women seem terribly competitive animals.
Wow.
I can't imagine any set of circumstances where I would be unfaithful to Helen or that Helen and I wouldn't be together.
They're not, are they?
Can you Google and find out if Helen and Noel are still together? Please God, Helen and I do not drift apart. We have a very special relationship, the kind people find only once in a lifetime. And some people never find. I was married before for 11 years, and I know this is better. This is right. Kath, is it still right?
No, it's not. They divorced in 2004. He's now married to Elizabeth.
Oh. I don't know why I'm laughing. Sorry about that.
I mean, it's not like we saw it coming from the way he's talking about
them. I know, it was... oh, my goodness me. Do we want to know what Noel thinks about SEX?
Oh.
This is... I think this is quite horrific.
Of course it is. Are you ready? I don't want to see it, but I have to.
Okay. So if you just joined us, hello, it's Jamie East on Talk Radio. Give us a call, 03444991000. We're looking for a Kate Winslet to be painted like one of Kyle's French girls.
And here's the thing. We're being polite at the moment. We're going to subject you to Noel Edmonds talking about sex in a second. If no one rings, we're going to play Caddick, When Caddick Met Sally, in a second.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that, definitely.
And Just the Orgasm, and we'll keep doing it until someone rings up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right, OK, so this is Noel Edmonds from his biography, his autobiography, talking about SEX. House Party's main appeal was that it was first and foremost a family show and appealed right across the spectrum. People of all ages and classes watched it. Noel found it easy to come up with ideas for the show because he was, at heart, a family man. But Noel also confided that he and Helen were careful to make time for themselves as a couple, away from the girls, what he chose to call dirty weekends. I don't think he coined that phrase. I think that's a quite widely used phrase. I have a very attractive wife, and I want to be able to enjoy all aspects of her.
He has mentioned it.
Yeah. I have a very attractive wife, and I want to be able to enjoy all aspects of her, he said in an interview with The Sun. I don't play much sport. Are you ready for this?
Oh, no.
But I hump for Britain.
Oh, no!
And when he and Helen met a journalist from the Sunday Mirror for an interview in an exclusive country house hotel, Noel allegedly pointed to one of the upstairs rooms and said, "See that window? We gave that room a right seeing to."
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We do have ways of making you talk, and at the moment it's by playing this orgasm.
Oh, God.
Are you okay?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Right there. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes! Oh, God! Oh, yes! Ooh.
That's one of my... I think, out of all the things I've ever done in my career, that's one of the... I think that's the one that they're going to... If they bring back This Is Your Life and I ever make it...
Do you remember this voice? God, can you imagine?
We're after people to take part in film scenes, amongst other things. I mean, you can call about whatever you want. 03444991000. Give us a call. I'm in covering for Rufus, covering for Ian, who's in the jungle. So we can talk about the jungle if you want. You can talk about... we're talking about facts. Have you got any interesting facts? There's things that are going to be interesting. Things that you lost. I've lost a denim jacket. I thought I'd left it here.
Oh no!
But I've not. Kyle's still on the line. Sorry, Kyle.
That's all right.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm just listening to Caddick and bits of me are shrinking that I didn't know I could shrink.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about it. Then mine's gone back up to my belly button. They're going to have to redescend. hold on a sec. We got Rob on the phone. Hold on a sec. Hold on, Kyle. Rob?
Hi.
How are you? You're Sally's other half. Sally, you came on and, let's be honest, mullered Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. I'm Sally's other half.
And you want to take part in acting out a scene, right?
Yeah.
Which one do you fancy? Do you want to do Gladiator, so you don't fancy being Kate Winslet?
I really, really, really don't fancy being Kate Winslet.
Okay, fine. So what I'll do is I'll get your email address. Unless you got the script. I don't know why Sally's laughing. She's
heard it before.
I've seen it several times before. Yeah, it depends which scene.
Well, it's got to be the speech about being, are you not entertained, I think, hasn't it?
That's just one line, as I remember.
Wait, okay, which bit do you want to do, then?
I could do the... I know part of the whole My Name is Maximus Decidus Meridius speech.
Wow.
Yeah, the monologue.
Right, so you know this off by heart already? Are you good to go? Are you prepared?
Yeah, pretty much.
Hold on a second. Hold on. I need to. I bet we can find the soundtrack to this. We can do this properly. It sounds like this is going to be great. So I'm very excited about this. Hold on one second, mate.
Sure.
Gladiator soundtrack. That's what we want. Duduk of the North. Would it Duduk of the North? Let's see what this one's like. Rome is the Light. What's this one like? What's going? Oh no, this one's called Maximus. That's going to be a bit more like it, isn't it? Rob, I mean, I'm just going to sit back and just let you take over, you know, take a deep breath. Take your time, you don't have to rush it.
All right.
Take it away. Hold on a sec. Jamie's covering VNA on Talk Radio. 03444991000. Rob, whenever you're ready, mate.
My name is Maximus Decidus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Phoenix Legions, loyal servant to the true Emperor Marcus Aurelius, husband to a murdered wife, father to a murdered son, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
Oh my!
He did the voice.
Oh my goodness me! I like that. Can we just go one more time, Rob? Bit slower.
Yeah, really, really channel that rage.
You know, channel the rage. You know, they bloody murdered your wife and your son. They left them hanging from that fruit kind of veranda. And your fingers, you're feeling the wheat, aren't you, in the fields as you're walking towards them? You're trying to touch them? Hold on a sec. It's gone from Maximus into Marrakesh Marketplace. Wait. Hold on. Now we're back in the room. Take a deep breath and go for it, Rob. It's Jamie's covering 3 and 8 on Talk Radio.
My name is Maximus Decidus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Phoenix Legions, loyal servant to the true Emperor Marcus Aurelius, husband to a murdered wife, father to a murdered son, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next. Sorry, my voice went a bit then.
That was good. Big round of applause. Kyle, what did you think to that?
That was him. Do you know what that was like? He was in the room. That was good.
It was. Well, I mean, I'd rather be in the room with Rob as Russell Crowe rather than actual Russell Crowe. You know, do you know that Russell Crowe, when he trained to be Maximus as Gladiator, he only did weights on his arms, and that's why he wore the breastplate all the way through, because he had a bit of a belly.
Did he?
Yeah.
He also trained to fight with both hands.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? He's a bloody gladiator. He had to fight a tiger.
Absolutely, yeah.
Didn't he take someone's head off? Doesn't he do like a scissor with the two swords?
Yeah, he does.
Hey, I'll tell you what film would be good for someone to do, and I bet you this is going to appeal to one of the Talk Radio listeners. I bet someone would like to come on and do The Matrix. Are you a fan of The Matrix, Rob?
I really didn't like the two sequels, and the first one...
The two sequels are dead to me, mate.
Yeah. And the first one, I thought the ending of the film should have been the bit when he took the pill.
Okay, well,
that should have been that act for me was what the whole film should have been.
Okay, Kyle, have you seen The Matrix?
A long, long time ago.
Perfect. Right. Okay. So, whilst we're waiting for Kate Winslet, you can be Morpheus, Kyle, and Rob, you can be Neo. All right, we're going to go and grab a break in a minute, but I'll email you both a script. Sam, can you grab email addresses? I've not even asked if you're okay with this. You're going to be fine. It's going to be amazing. We're going to do the red pill, blue pill scene from The Matrix, just for those conspiracy theorists out there. It's Jamie East covering for Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We will take your calls about absolutely anything, won't we, Kath?
Yeah, of course we will.
Give us a call, 03444991000, or text TALK to 87222. I keep saying text, and I do this on Virgin. Every day I read out the text number about 50 times, and never once do I check the text. We've had a text here. Someone's saying about bad films, Tarzan and the Valley of Gold could be improved with the 10 male stripper farting Mugabe brothers.
That's from yesterday.
Is that from yesterday? I don't even understand what that is.
Well, I'll explain during the break. It's going to blow your mind.
Wow, this is exciting. Right, let's grab a break.
across the UK, online and on DAB.
It's the radio show for night people. Funky, but neat. Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Jamie East in for Ian Lee. As the man just said, give us a call. I'm open until 1 o'clock. 03444991000. Oh, we've got lots of people calling. This is lovely, 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 lovely. Have we got Rob and Kyle on the phone now? Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
Kyle, are you there?
I'm here.
Did you get your script?
I've got it, but I'm not sure which part is which.
Oh, is it a bit complicated?
No, I just don't. I don't know which is which. Which is Rob Morpheus or Neo?
That put it in the title of the script, didn't I? I put it in the email.
Oh, hang on, have a look.
I'm Neo.
Oh, okay, yeah, I've got that now.
Right,
yeah,
so Kyle, you are Morpheus. If you just dialed in or tuned in or whatever you do on the app, we're just doing reenacting famous scenes from films in honour of The Room, which is the worst best film ever made. And so we're seeing if we can improve on greatness. We've already done Gladiator. What else have we done? We did When Harry Met Sally. We've done Silence of the Lambs. We're having a right rum old time. And Kyle and Rob are about to take on The Matrix, the scene in which Neo and Morpheus discuss the blue and red pill. It's a pivotal scene in the film. It's the moment when Neo decides that he is that he's all in. Yeah. So Rob, you're Neo. Kyle, you're Morpheus. Yes.
Okay.
Kyle, you have the first line. Hold on a minute. This, if anything, should have the music. It's the blooming Matrix theme tune. Is it Club to Death? I believe it is, by Rob D, isn't it? Hold on a second. Let me see if I can get this, because this is going to sound intense. Are we ready? Club to Death from the Matrix. This is what we want. Is this it? Is this... here we go. Is this good? Okay. So, Morpheus, you're up, my friend.
At last. Welcome, Neo. As you no doubt have guessed, I am Morpheus.
It's an honor to meet you.
No. The honor is mine. Please, come, sit. I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole,
You could see that.
It's like Mike Yarwood.
I can see it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he's expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in fate, Neo?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
That's a good Keanu.
It's very good.
I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix, dude.
Dude.
Do you want to...
Come on, you can do this.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. Stop people laughing. The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you are born into bondage.
Right?
Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is.
You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hey.
Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more. Follow me. Epoch, are we online?
Oh, that was good. That was very good.
Oh,
Neo, that was great. Neo, I mean, oh, I don't know where to go from there. That was incredible. Well done. Are you feeling good about that, guys?
I was aiming more for Keanu Reeves out of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
It was bodacious.
Yeah, it was great. It was almost Jonathan Wick.
Be, more fun.
That was amazing. Well done to you. Thank you, guys, for getting involved. If you're listening, if you're tuning in wondering what the hell is going on, well, like you need to ask, that was Rob and Kyle reenacting the career-defining moment of Keanu Reeves and Lawrence Fishburne in The Matrix, where Neo and Morpheus discuss the red and blue pill. We're just taking on kind of classic film scenes with you, the listeners, because The Room, which is the best, worst film ever made, has been made into a film by James Franco. It's very meta. And it's out next week. And it feels like months ago, the 10 o'clock hour, we spoke to Jonathan from Swansea. I believe, is Jonathan there now? Jonathan?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So have you been listening to what's been going on?
No, I've been devising my own scenario.
So let me fill in a bit of backstory for the listeners that weren't listening then. So we started this off. Jonathan was one of the early callers from the evening. And You didn't want to reenact a film scene, did you? Because you transcend boundaries such as that. What we did was we tasked you with going away to think of a scenario and think of something that you and I could I believe act as a riff off. That was right, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's you've had a good hour and a half at it. What's the describe to me the genre?
It's a psychological one-to-one.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Psychological one-to-one. A bit like what was the one with Michael Caine and what was it called? Sleuth.
No, I'm thinking more along the lines of Carice Hannibal from Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, okay, fine. Yes,
I think you'd be a very good Hannibal, Jonathan. It's a shame you didn't go for that one.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going for something like Silence of the Lambs. Okay. What is your character?
My character is known simply as Hatchet.
Okay. And describe Hatchet to me. What's his state? His or her state of mind? What's their backstory? What's going on?
Hatchet is a person from Britain who emigrated to America to fight in the Civil War.
Oh, sorry. What year is are we in?
Pardon?
What year are we in?
2023.
Oh, the future Civil War, the Civil War just around the corner. I like your thinking.
Yes.
Okay, so you're Hatchet. You've emigrated to America to fight in a Civil War we don't yet have. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you a damaged individual? Are you heroic? What's going on?
Bit of both.
A heroic yet damaged individual.
Well, there's a sort of moral ambiguity about my character.
Oh, yeah, there often is, isn't there? You're kind of like a James Bond / Jack Bauer / Stan Ogden.
I'm sort of more Joseph Stalin.
Oh, okay, fine.
It's pretty cut and dry, isn't it?
Pardon?
Carry on.
Okay, so that's you. You're known only as Hatchet. And
yes.
Who am I?
You're Bill Clinton.
I'm Bill Clinton in 2023?
Yes.
An ageing Bill Clinton.
Yeah. This is the beginning of the scenario.
Okay, fine.
You're in a detention centre.
I'm in a what? Detention centre? What's happened to me?
Well, that's what will come out.
Oh, I see. Right, okay.
You're surrounded by four armed guards at all times.
Okay. Okay.
And then I walk into the room with four armed guards accompanying me, and I interview you, so to speak, and it's a conversation that we have.
Okay, fine. So what kind of scene are we setting? Is it a dramatic scene? I'm just thinking about the music right now. What kind of music do you think we should...
A psychological thriller with a hint of menace.
Let me just have a look, see what I've got under psychological thriller with a hint of menace. Hold on a minute. One second. Is this going to work? I don't know. Oh, hold on a second. I'm still playing Blooming Marrakesh Marketplace. Bird one tick. Hold on. You pick. Is this... No, that's not going to work, is it? No. Hold on a sec. No. This is the love theme from Superman. Is that any good? Oh, I've got it. This is from... this is Hans Zimmer. This will work. You like this? That works, doesn't
it? The future.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, so I'm sat there with my four guards. Hello, it's Jamie. He's covering for Ian Lee on Talk Radio, by the way. Give us a call and join in if you want. I need some armed guards. 03444991000. We're improv. We're deep in improv. I'm Bill Clinton in the year 2023 in a detention centre. And the mysterious Hatchet has entered the room. Take it away, Hatchet.
Hello, Bill. I'm the Hatchet. Maybe you've heard of me.
I've heard a lot about you, Hatchet. What are you doing here?
Well, you see, Bill, President Jones wants to hang you from lampposts on Capitol Hill. His son, Rex, is screaming for your blood.
That Rex, that good-for-nothing, dirty dog. Doesn't he know what I did was for the benefit of the country?
You lost the war. Obviously, it wasn't for the benefit of the country.
I lost the war, but won the battle. I just got it the wrong way round.
Bill. You have no leverage here.
God damn it.
As much as I would like to see you hang, I'm going to... set aside my bloodlust and offer you a deal in hope that it may bring about a just and lasting peace.
God damn it, I wish you weren't so right. What's on the table, Hatchet?
As the way things stand, you're going to hang, your wife's going to hang, and your daughter's going
to hang. Don't bring Hillary into this. She's had enough from President Trump. Back then.
But if you play ball with me, I'll see to it that Chelsea has immunity. And if you're lucky, maybe I'll be able to persuade President Jones to give you life under house arrest.
Doesn't sound like much of a deal, but God damn it, I've got no choice. Hatchet, what do I need to do?
I want to know everything. I want you to turn state's evidence. Every single criminal detail that you and your entire family have committed.
Are you talking?
It's your only chance. It's Chelsea's only chance. I know, Bill, that you don't give a damn about anyone but yourself.
You're right, I don't give a damn about anyone but myself.
But there are a couple of exceptions. Your daughter, Chelsea. I know she's a daddy's. And I know that if there's one person in this world that you do care about, her.
Why?
Do you want your grandchildren to grow up without a mother?
Not particularly. Hatchet, I got a question for you.
I ask the questions.
But in this instance, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Do you really think I didn't know you were coming? I'm President Bill Clinton, for God's sakes.
You were president. Now you're just a prisoner. And your life is in my hands.
Have you not noticed that we've both got four guards? Look around you, Hatchet. You've only got three. Where's the other guard gone, Hatchet?
He's standing right behind you.
Yes, I know. Because that's no ordinary guard. It's Chelsea.
You really are delusional, Bill.
Oh, we're still doing it. Oh, sorry, I thought...
See, it's safely under lock and key. Oh. How safe she remains is up to you. If it were up to me, I would make sure that every moment you endure in this life is full of pain and suffering. But I've seen more than enough pain and suffering for one lifetime. Did you know that Monica, she lost her son just 3 months before the final victory?
Monica Lewinsky?
Oh, Bill, don't pretend that you don't know who Monica was. Her son is dead because people like you assassinated President Trump.
If you're calling, if you've just tuned in, this is not a documentary. We are reenacting a scene from Jonathan from Swansea's head. Give us a call if you want to join in. 03444991000. Kath, you
I
can.
I think he's living some sort of fantasy here, Jonathan. You've thought about this a lot, haven't you?
Remarkable what you can do in an hour.
It is. Jonathan, I'm very impressed with that. That was wonderful. That was wonderful.
Chilling.
What was going to happen?
At the end of the scene, I would have said, I'm giving you 24 hours. Choose wisely. And then lock the door.
Cliffhanger.
What could I have done? I was locked in the bloody room. That'd have just been locked. You'd have just left me locked in a room for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit of a plot hole there. Jonathan, that was wonderful. I'm very impressed.
No problem.
Do call in again. Please.
Thank you.
I found that impressing and yet chilling.
I think that was the intention.
Yes, I think it was.
It was an impressive chiller.
Jonathan.
If you just tuned in, hello. I apologise, first and foremost, if that scared any of you. It's a bit like when Orson Welles narrated War of the Worlds that time on the radio and everyone thought the aliens have invaded. I can tell you that Bill Clinton is not in detention, and it's not 2023. It's still 2017 and it's 20 past 12. And I'm Jamie East on Talk Radio. Give us a call, get involved. It's open house. You don't have to act. Just give us a call, 03444991000. Text talk to 87222. I did think I was reading text. No, I'm still reading that Tarzan thing. I'll ignore that for now. What did you think to that, Kath?
I found it an alarming scenario.
I'll tell you what, I've seen episodes of Designated Survivor on Netflix that were twice as bad as that.
I know. He did commit to it, you know, I'll give him that. I think that he... He gave it his all. I wasn't massively surprised that he had that within him, but...
He was going to win. Hatchet was always going to win in that scenario.
Exactly. He had everything mapped out.
Hatchet was... He had a very impressive backstory. I think Jonathan has lived with Hatchet in his mind for quite some time. Get in touch with us anytime you want. The phones are open. We're on Periscope too. Just go to periscope.tv/Jamie East. Oh, I know what I was going to do. Another celebrity biography.
Oh, gosh. Please don't let it be as scary as the last one.
Well, no, we've done Noel Edmonds. So do you want another mysterious...
Yeah, go on.
Hold on a second.
See if I can work out who it is.
Hold on a second then. Right. Okay, so what we're doing, this is just a little game that we're playing. My mate Eamon, he doesn't get out much, and he reads a lot of really bad celebrity biographies. And... grabs the best bits of those, the golden nuggets of those.
I wonder if he's read Julie Goodyear's. That was a beaut.
Do not talk to me about Julie Goodyear. I had to do... That was in my days of being on Celebrity Big Brother's bit on the side. I think I was on with Ian Lee at that point.
Were you?
Yes. Do you know what? Me and Ian did a musical number to Bugsy Malone.
Oh, God.
And
is it on YouTube?
It will be somewhere. I pied him.
Right, okay.
Yeah, Sam, search for it. There's a song with me and Alice Levine and Emma Willis are singing, "You could have been anything that you wanted to be." And Ian, who was a regular contributor, started talking in a wise guy kind of voice, and he's ridiculous. Then Rusty Lee appeared out of nowhere. And,
are you sure this isn't a Jonathan scenario?
No, this is a genuine thing. And Julie Goodyear had just won.
Did she win?
Yeah, Julie Goodyear won Celebrity Big Brother that time.
Don't remember that.
Yeah. Got it, get it, good. That was a catchphrase.
Oh, yes, I do remember that bit flipping, eh? Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we're going to find that clip, we're going to go to a break, and I'm going to come back with a mysterious celebrity biography. It's Jamie East covering for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Jamie East, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We cannot find that clip anywhere. We'll find it because it's got Ian Lee doing a pretty dreadful impression of Bugsy Malone.
He did drama at university as well, you know.
I'll tell you what, it's still better than Persuasionist. you listen to Jamie East on Talk Radio covering for Ian Lee, who is currently probably knee-deep in kangaroo anus. Let's be frank. But we wish him all the luck in the world if he wins. I mean, that would be amazing.
Yeah, because I'll win about 800 quid.
Exactly. Well, think
my little punt.
Think how happy he'd be if he won. He'd come back just laden with duty free.
Oh yes,
2,000 Benson and Edges.
We're starting smoking again.
And a load of M&Ms. get in touch if you like. 03444991000. Text talk to 87222. What was I doing? That was it. I was doing the mysterious celebrity biography, wasn't I?
Oh yeah.
Right. This is two people. Okay.
A couple?
Yes. Yes. Right. Okay. on the tour of Turkey, with us this time was a Frenchman called Mr. Louis, who used a real-life chimpanzee for his act. Such and such was joking at the border that the police were going to cut the chimp's hair too. When we were driving through Turkey, it was boiling hot as usual. We had to stop at this lake one day just to cool down. We let the chimp out of the van, and it ran up a tree and wouldn't come back down. Even the ape didn't want to go back in the stinking hot van. One day on our travels, we stopped by a lake. Ian and I...
Oh,
bugger. Went in the water for a swim to cool down. We were the only two people swimming in this lovely lake, but we soon found out why when a huge snake swam past us. The lake was full of water asps. I told, let's get out before we end up like Cleopatra.
Okay, that's it's just... who I thought it was.
Is it?
I think so. Do you want to do another one? I'll just...
Yeah, let me find... Okay, so this is when they met Paul Daniels. you can't libel the dead.
We could try.
In the October of that year, our agent at the time, Billy Forrest, sent us for a month of gigs in Jersey for the first time. Down there, we worked for a man called Jimmy Moyer, who was from Partick in Glasgow and owned the Sunshine Hotel. Paul Daniels had been there for the whole summer. I'd never come across him before, but knew of him. He'd been supporting an Irish comic, Balmoan, but when we arrived, Bal had left, so we were now top of the bill for the first time. Something I think Paul resented. Paul was a super act, but personally, he was such a bore.
Oh, gosh.
We were all living in the same hotel, and he'd have a trick in every pocket. We'd be sitting in the bar having a conversation with some guest or one of the other acts, and he'd butt in doing some bloody card trick. After a month, we were sick and tired of him, and our patience had just about run out. One night, he came over to our table and butted into our conversation as usual, and that's when Ian told him to pee off. Listen, this is Ian's talking now. I was so annoyed after a month of being constantly pestered by him that something just snapped and I swung for him. I didn't hit him that badly, but he still went flying off the bar stool onto his arse. I had simply cracked, but amazingly, a punch in a gob had no effect whatsoever on Paul. I would actually play golf with him after that incident, and he was still the same pesky wee man, doing tricks at every turn as if nothing had happened. But to give the man credit, at the end of that run, he bought someone and I a going-away presence. So I take my hat off to him. He might have been a pain, but he was also a gentleman. Rest in peace.
Wow.
It can only be two people, can't
yeah, it
it
can. Did the female part of that partnership once fall off a beanstalk?
Yes, many times. Many times. And this is one of the... This is one of the cleanest excerpts from the autobiography.
I've heard tell that there's muckiness there.
We're talking about the Crankies.
Yes.
They are... renowned in showbiz circles for being absolute filth. Everyone's got a cranky story. And I love these celebrity biographies because they just, it's just, you cannot help but get Partridge in them.
Yeah.
Here's, I was in the casino on a break having a chat to Maurice Gibb from the Bee Gees, sadly no longer with us after tragically dying on an operating table in January 2003. I mean, what a perfectly crafted.
Crafted is right.
Yeah.
Sadly. What was it? Sadly and tragically died.
Sadly no longer with us after tragically dying on an operating table in January 2003. This is quite a recent autobiography.
Wow. It sounds so 80s.
Amazing.
I might get that for someone for Christmas.
This is the crankiest talking about Les Dennis. After the cruise, we went to Blackpool and we were on the bill with the Black Abbots, Russ Abbott and his group, along with Roy Walker and Les Dennis, who was the opening act. He wasn't very good back then. Wow.
Say the crankies. He would never get hired these days. I mean, what is that act?
Can we find out what the crankies are doing now? Where
Panto.
Oh, actually, it will be.
It'll be Panto.
Crankies Panto every year. Crankies Panto 2017.
But didn't she break something by falling off a beanstalk once?
Was it a coccyx? They're at Dick Whittington in Manchester.
There we
of course
go.
They are.
No beanstalks there.
What did she do? She fell off.
Beanstalk.
Didn't she fall onto someone? I'm typing.
I don't know, but I'm going to spread that.
Cranky Beanstalk. Jeanette Cranky Beanstalk. This is one of my favourite celebrities. Wee Jimmy Cranky. This is from The Mirror.
Wee Jimmy Cranky.
I fell off Jack's beanstalk and smashed my skull. We shouldn't laugh at this, should we?
She's all right.
Has she ever been all right? When did this happen?
I reckon it was probably early 2000s.
It's 2014. It was.
Was it?
3 years ago.
God,
she's talking about. She said this is the 10th anniversary. It's a story about the 10th anniversary. The Mirror, never knowingly, kind of first of a story, doing a 10th anniversary web article with Jeanette
Cranky. Of the falling off the beanstalk.
The falling off the beanstalk. It's actually in 2004.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah.
I think we've basically I've killed the phone stone dead, haven't I, by talking about Jeanette Cranky's sex antics. I don't know. I thought we were doing well. We never did get round to doing the Titanic scene.
No.
Do you know why? Because we couldn't find it. You can't find the words. Would we get sued if we play? We probably wouldn't not allowed to play the clip, are we?
No, there wasn't a lot of talking, was there? It was kind of loving looks and colouring in.
Well, he was too busy staring at boobs, wasn't he?
Well, they were. It was a lovely pair.
They were. Yeah, I suppose they were. Oh, we've been talking about. I think the Cranks is still going. Ken Dodd's still going at 91,
And literally still going. He started the act at about 2:10 this afternoon.
Yeah.
He locks the doors, doesn't he?
Oh,
that's a big joke.
Someone's telling me on Periscope, Brass Monkeys saying Google Jimmy Cranking John Barrowman. I know that I shouldn't talk about it, but I'm just going to have a look anyway.
Yeah. And thanks to your earlier work. I know exactly what we're talking about here without having to Google it.
Yeah, it's, if I remember rightly, it's a set of awful photographs of them. Yes. Oh, my God. Google, if you sat there listening, just Google John Barrowman Crankies and look at the first picture that comes up. It's one of the... You know, if they were gonna do a British version of where they send like a time capsule into space, you know, where they put like a Radiohead album up there, maybe an episode of Country File, and this picture.
The first picture, it transpires they're holding onto a ship's wheel.
But it doesn't. It looks like Wee Jimmy's got not so Wee Jimmy.
It does.
Made out of wood.
I'm sure it's no accident.
I'm sure. I mean, and John Barrowman's trying to French kiss Jeanette Cranky in front of her husband.
Oh, God. I mean, the Crankies.
The Crankies. John Barrowman sent my mate a picture, but I can't talk about that either. You listen to Talk Radio. It's Jamie's covering for Ian Lee, covering for Rufus. Is Rufus back tomorrow, is he?
Apparently.
Apparently so.
No one turns up these days, though, so I never know who it's going to be.
Oh, really? You just sat there...
I'll just be here.
Waiting for a random man to, exactly. to wander into the studio.
Yeah, it's like a revolving door of talent.
Yeah, well. Rufus will be in tomorrow. Ian won't be in tomorrow.
No.
Ian's probably going to be gone for a fair few weeks if he does well, unless he does something daft.
Oh, please, no.
Has he deleted all his old tweets? So he doesn't know Jack Maynard?
No.
He's
got an automatic deletion device on his tweets.
Does he?
Mm-hmm. Every month or so, they all go.
Why?
Because he likes to clear them out.
Wow.
I think he's just trying to be a better man and not, you know.
No, that's fair enough. We can all but try to be a better man. Like Jack Nicholson and As Good As It Gets.
Yeah.
This is the best we can hope for.
I think it's sad when he gives in at the end, though. I quite liked him at the beginning.
Be Jack Nicholson in As Good As It Gets rather than A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
If you're going to pick. Or The Departed. Don't be Jack Nicholson in The Departed. We were talking about things that we lost as well. I didn't get a chance to talk about this.
Go on.
Well, no, but it was just about the joy of finding something that you've lost. Is there a better pleasure? And you know, when you're clearing your house up, and you find it's like this watch that I'm wearing now. It was a special watch I bought in New York years ago, and I accused a plumber of nicking it.
Did you actually, though? Because I've been on the verge of accusing and
no, I went for it.
Oh,
because I was so sure that I'd left it on the shelf in the bathroom whilst we were having the bathroom done, and it wasn't there.
Wow.
So I just went studs out.
And what did he say? Well, I mean, obviously he said he hadn't done it.
He said lots of things to you, Kath.
Not what time is it?
Not what time. Yeah, I didn't have the time. I didn't know how long it went on for. But yeah, it got to the point where I was like, could I, am I legally allowed to, you start going around in your mind, it's like, what can I, what's a citizen's arrest?
Were you thinking of frisking him?
Well, I was convinced they had it on him. He didn't. It was in my son's toy box. I don't know how the hell it got there. But my embarrassment and horrificness of getting the hot flush every time I thought about doing that was replaced by the sheer orgasmic. Orgasmic.
Oh, God.
Are you okay? The sheer orgasmic joy of my wife finding it.
There is a relief there, isn't there?
Oh, there's no better feeling, is there? No better feeling.
I lost my car keys once for about 2 weeks, and they're the expensive ones. I had the, like, you know, the ones that the garage gave you just in case. Yeah, and I even, you know, when you've mentally spent the money, and I thought, no, I'm not going to do it yet, even though it was annoying me. Sometimes when you lose something, until you replace it, you can't stop thinking about it. I was looking for it every 5 minutes. Every time I sat down in somewhere in the house, I was sliding my hands down the side of the chair.
Yeah. It's always in the back of your mind.
Yeah, always. And thinking, where on earth did I last see it? Because that's what people always ask in. It's annoying. And then one day I heard my daughter playing behind the sofa and I heard the jangle of a key.
Mm.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. I jumped over the back of the sofa. It was in the baby buggy that she was playing with.
Oh, my gosh.
She'd been playing cars, obviously.
That must have been a good feeling.
I mean, I loved her and hated her in equal measure at that time. But yeah, it's good. Good feeling, because it would have been about 500 quid.
I dropped one of those expensive car keys on a beach in Cornwall.
Oh, no.
Nightmare.
What, in the water?
It was just on the beach somewhere. We were saying a caravan park. It was and in the middle of Cornwall. So I had no key for the car.
Oh, man.
Utter chaos. I was not a popular man. Mrs. East was not very popular with me. Had to go and do the whole ordering thing. Now, have you ever tried to order one of those keys? You know, normally when you get a key cut...
You need a code and
Timpsons. Yeah, you have to get in touch with Mercedes. You have to get a code and you have to order it and they have to get the thing shipped over because the chips are in, blah, 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 blah. Did all that. Cost hundreds and hundreds of pounds, and it was when I was skint. It wasn't even my car.
But that's when it's going to get you, isn't it? That's when you lose stuff, when you can't afford to replace
it. Went through all of that. 5 days we're in Cornwall with... Two or three young children. Three very young children.
And where's the car parked? Next to the beach?
No, the car's parked outside the caravan. So it's there, you can see it. Can't get in it. I had to get a taxi to the next village to go and pick up the key for the Mercedes van, which was like 60 quid return.
Oh, man.
Got back. What's the first thing that the person on the reception at the caravan park said to me when I got back?
Oh, no, I've got you. No, they hadn't.
Yeah. Some kid had found it. Gutted. Absolutely gutted. I threw it away.
Did you? Because you couldn't stand to look at it.
Just lobbed it into the distance. Because it had been replaced. Because the chip had... I was furious.
Flipping it. That is a kick in the ghoulies.
It is a kick in the ghoulies. Michelle's on Periscope. Sorry, Michelle. We couldn't find the script to Kate Winslet. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. Nick is saying her son's mate lost his car keys at Reading Festival. But found them. I went to Glastonbury. Yes, you just reminded me. First time I went to Glastonbury, lost my wallet.
Oh, man.
Like, within an hour of being there, wallet gone. Found it. All the cash in it. three days later.
Amazing.
Well, everyone was just hammered, weren't they?
Well, I lost mine. I didn't realise. I woke up. We did a rabbit hole in Manchester.
Oh.
Woke up the next morning, clearing out my hotel room, looking around. I've got my purse is red, for obvious reasons, because I'm rubbish at keeping things.
Yeah.
This purse.
Yeah.
Couldn't find it. Where is it? Is it? I've left it in the car. Went down to the car. No purse. Oh man, it's lost. It's lost.
Yeah.
Rang the person whose house we'd done the show at the day before.
You did a show at someone's house?
Yeah, we took the radio show to someone's house. We were doing the rabbit hole that night, that's what it was. We'd done the show at someone's house on the Friday night.
This show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Using Periscope and all that.
Yeah.
Asked her and she was like, oh, you don't think I've nicked it? And I said, no, I'm just thinking, is it down the back of your sofa or something? I don't know where I've lost it.
Did you think she'd nicked it?
No. Absolutely not.
Why are you winking at me?
No, don't, because she listened. Absolutely not, because I must have had it in the back of the cab, because I must have had it. Anyway, long story short, I have no idea when I lost it. I'm thinking there was some money in it. It's gone. I've got to get back from Manchester. I've got no money at all. Oh, man, I need to put petrol in the car, blah, blah, blah. Phone rings. It's Talk Sport.
Yeah.
Pat from Talk Sport saying that someone has rung up saying that they have found, it's the police in Manchester saying they've found my purse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the guy who'd done it had found it in the street the night before, so Friday night in Manchester, taking it to this police station, left all the money in it. I rang the guy up because the police gave me his number.
Yeah.
Offered him a reward, didn't want it.
Triumph for the human spirit.
He said, it's just good to know that you got your purse back.
Oh, what a nice guy.
And he was young. He wasn't an old man.
Well, who'd have thought it, eh? Blimey. It's almost like the start of a rom-com or a porno. Let's get a break.
Late night conversation. Wealth using sleepover. Jamie East in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, we don't really. Hello, it's Jamie in for Rufus, in for Ian. Hello, Rufus is back tomorrow. Ian is back at some point in the future. You've got 14 minutes if you want to call about anything. Give us a call, 0344 499 1000, or text TALK to 87222. Text costs whatever it is, 25p plus your standard network rate, I do believe.
You may want to join in with this, because I'm about to read Jamie something that may ring bells if you are an avid listener to this show. It's from a biography.
Okay.
An autobiography.
Right, okay.
And it's quite a thing.
Okay, so is it a male or female? Or am I not
well, you're
to
about
ask?
To find
okay,
out.
Okay, fine. Okay, Kath, take it away.
Right, so 0344 499 1000 if you want to put him out of his misery, because he's never going to get this. Right, ready?
Yeah.
In Rochester, New York, I was accused of sexual deviancy.
Oh, blimey. That does not narrow it down.
No. So I attended...
Keith Harris.
No.
No? Okay.
So I attended the pre-trial hearing in a Vivian Westwood tartan plaid suit that featured penis and balls buttons that
blended... Keith Lemon.
That blended in so well you would have had to really look hard to see them. No one noticed, and I denied being a sexual deviant. But indeed, that was exactly what they had on their hands.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. I mean, in the current climate, this is a confession.
Donny Osmond.
No. If only. In this case, I was trying to get a girl out of my hotel room by saying she could only stay if she made it with the other girl I'd let in, who just happened to be younger and better looking.
Oh.
When she wouldn't, and why not, I don't know, I told her to leave and ended up throwing her out of the room, which was a mistake.
Nice guy.
I should have called the road manager. No, it wasn't a mistake, because it was a mean thing to do. You should have had someone else help him. Later, I'd have a security guard, but back then I was on my own.
So it's a singer.
The girl's case was thrown out, but the fact is, I should have known better.
Tom Jones.
No.
I should have known better. Was that a clue? Is it Jim Diamond?
No.
Is it Jim Diamond?
No.
Hang on a second. Is it Jim Diamond?
No.
Oh.
Do you want another clue? I can do you another quote from it.
Yes, I do want another clue.
Okay, here we go. I think everyone heard it wrong. When people were saying I was born again, it was actually that I've got back into porn again.
Got back into porn? Sylvester Stallone. Jim Diamond's getting on my nerves now.
You're going to be who you are. Might as well embrace it, or forever be at the mercy of the human fears and trepidations of life that can devastate and drag us down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Arnie.
No.
Am I getting closer?
Here's a little clue. The punk credo was to stand up for your own beliefs and tastes, not bow down to yet another set of new rules. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss indeed. I'll give you a clue.
Billy Idol.
Billy Idol!
Amazing. Someone did say Billy Idol on Periscope and I thought it was a joke.
No.
Wow.
Billy Idol, what a piece of work.
William, Sir William of Idol.
It's hilarious. I'm unintentionally hilarious and shocking, and it sounds like the memoirs of a 14-year-old who's never actually kissed a girl. You know, the kind of,
yeah.
I took her in the bathroom.
Yeah, for hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
Quite some lover.
Amazing scenes. What's that called?
It's called Billy Idol, Dancing With Myself.
Of course
it sounds like a euphemism. For what the book is, actually.
Billy Idol, Dancing With Myself. He could have done something better than that. It should have been A Rebel's Yell.
Well, he does quote the whole of Rebel Yell in it and explains it as well. I mean, he's...
We don't need Rebel Yell explaining to us, do we?
No,
don't need to. It's breaking down the fourth wall a bit too much.
It's Punk Partridge is what it is.
Punk Partridge. Oh, now there's a series I'd love to watch.
Oh, my goodness.
Alan Partridge is a punk.
Back in the day.
Mm. Ah, it's Thanksgiving. It is tomorrow now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't understand what Thanksgiving is. Because it's not Christmas, is it?
No.
But it's kind of like Christmas in America, isn't it?
Yeah, it's...
Don't they eat turkey for both?
I think they get presents and, like, go home and see Mum and stuff.
That's what I don't get. So they have two... It's just two Christmases. Because Trump was pardoning the turkey.
Did he pardon it?
I think so, probably. Well, probably.
Unexpectedly
and then,
kind.
And then shot it. Probably.
Held it up by the neck.
But, so Thanksgiving is just a made-up thing, isn't it? Well, so is Christmas, to be frank, but if you believe that kind of thing, fair enough. But it's just to give, to be thankful for something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
Pilgrim Fathers and all
song,
that. Pilgrim Fathers and all that jazz, isn't it?
But, so at which point did Pilgrim Fathers eat marshmallows on top of sweet potato?
I think that was like the Tuesday after they landed.
Which is the most disgusting... Meal. We're talking about, in fact, I'm on next week. We'll talk about this because it's kind of, it's borderline Christmas. I think, it will be Christmas. We'll be in December during the show.
Yeah.
So we can officially start talking about it. Because I was talking about my Virgin show the other day with some very strange people that I think it's a north-south divide that had never heard of bread sauce before.
Right.
Have you?
I've heard of it. I don't think I've ever eaten it.
What?
Mm. What does it go on?
Hang on a sec. Sam, have you eaten bread sauce?
No, I've not, but again, I know what it is.
What the hell? Am I alone in my bread sorcery?
What's it go on?
Turkey.
Oh.
And kind of poultry and stuff.
What's wrong with a bit of cranberry sauce? That's what goes on your turkey.
Yeah, but you have both. Cranberry sauce is like a relish. Bread sauce is like a savoury...
Custard.
It's kind of like an oniony custard.
Meat custard, if you will.
It's not meaty. So... I can't believe I'm having this conversation again. So bread sauce.
Right.
It's a milk that's been infused with cloves and onion.
Okay.
Yeah? Allowed to cool. And then you heat it up with... And you basically put bread in it with some butter. And it's like a savoury... And it's quite a thick, gloopy sauce.
Right.
What is going on? Have you never had... Bread sauce on a Christmas lunch?
No.
Well, this is one thing we're definitely doing next week. If you are listening, I'm covering for Rufus Coventry on the 30th. And we're going to do this because I'm almost certain that there is only one Christmas dinner that you should have. And there are very
set... bread sauce is involved, is it?
Of course bread sauce is involved. But of course.
Well, okay.
You know, I'm going to get Phil Vickery to call in as well.
All right.
He'll sort it out.
Sounds like a plan. Just don't let him talk to Shovel.
Shovel can go cock off. It was supposed to be on here at 10 o'clock talking about his devastating family life.
Well,
I don't care much for it anymore.
Don't give him monkeys.
So next week we'll have, hopefully we'll have Pornhub statistician talking about bread. No, we can't get those two mixed up. That is a very, very niche category, that is.
Billy Idol's done it.
Yeah, I know. So I'm covering on the 30th. So Rufus is back. I'm going to think of some more movie scenes to do as well. Which ones did we... What are the classics that we missed out? I'm sure there are many. We did have When Harry Met Sally. We did Gladiator. We did Silence of the Lambs.
Notting Hill. I'm Just a Girl.
Notting Hill. Oh, we'd have to get Feller on to do I'm Just a Girl Standing in Front of a Guy.
Asking him to love me.
Oh, do Forward Ends and the Funeral Best Man Speech.
I mean, we could just do... I mean, it's going to be nearly Christmas. We could just do the Curtis films.
We should do the Love Actually. Yeah. What was the was there any famous bits in Love Actually? Oh no, because it was the silent one, wasn't it? Where Love Actually's got a very sinister undertone, hasn't it?
I know. Tell him it's Carol Singer, isn't it? It's your best mate.
Yeah, trying to bone your best mate's wife.
These days he'd be texting her.
Is in it? It'd have just been dick picking her.
Can romance. I say that?
Well, it's 5-1. Who cares?
Romance.
There's dick picking going on all over the world right now.
is that the verb?
Is that the verb? Dick picking. I believe so. Do you just dick? Is it, you don't send a dick pic. You just dick pick, don't you? How many times do I have to say it before Ofcom just phone me up? I'm going to stop now.
Honestly, they're very understanding.
They'd have to be, wouldn't they? This is nothing. I saw Ian when he had to do something for Ofcom. Yeah. Write a great big bloody letter to them.
I know.
It worked, though, didn't it?
Yeah. It's very persuasive.
He can be, can't he? Well, let's hope he is. He's, like we say, he's probably got a mouthful of kangaroo anus right now.
Oh, poor kangaroo.
Wouldn't be the first time. It's Jamie's covering for Rufus, covering for Ian. Thank you very much for all the people that got involved, especially, what was his name? Alan?
Alan Caddick.
Alan Caddick. He was the star of tonight's show. Thank you, Alan. I tell you who didn't phone me up was the one who, the Hoover guy. Who was that?
Oh, Badcock.
Badcock.
Next time, maybe.
Next time. We can but dream. And we'll have to get Colm on the phone again, who snogged his mum. Who was that? The guy who works on John Holmes's show.
Oh, yeah,
French kissed his mum.
Flipping heck, I know.
Something to look forward to on the 30th. I've had a great fun. I'm going to go home because I'm on the show. I'm on Virgin Radio at 10 o'clock in the morning. Thank you for listening, everybody. Do call in next time, 03444991000. Thank you very much for looking after me, Kath.
Hey, no problem. Pleasure.
And I'll see you next week. Rufus is back tomorrow. Bye-bye.